And what really the gross part about it is...
Yeah, why is it gross? That sounds cleaner.
It's not even that clean. Well, because you stick it into your arm, man. It's like, first of all, you got to find a vein. So yeah. You're sitting there tapping away trying to find a fucking vein, basically. And most people, after they've, you know, injected long enough, they basically collapse all the veins in their arms. You hit it so many times with that needle that you've bruised it and scarred it and damaged it that you can't even put it in your arm anymore.
Whoa.
So some people go for their feet.
Yeah, just help me with my intro. How are you? Welcome to Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank. I'm Ari Shaffir, and my friend Joey Diaz is here with me.
Yo, welcome to Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank. Listen to it, relax. What else are you going to do for the next hour, you fucking mook?
I got a heroin addict. He just cleaned up.
Okay.
He's one of those 21-year-old burnouts.
Okay. How old is he now?
Now he's 21. From like 17 to 20. He was like nearly in the streets.
Up.
Yeah, like all the time.
And he got it together now? How long has he been clean for?
I think like a year.
Good for him.
He just got, I got two guys in Vancouver when I was there. This guy who sort of cleaned up and got out of it early. And then another guy was like a 25-year, like living on the streets guy.
Okay.
They just talked about heroin mostly.
It's a fucking tough life. How tough did that guy look 25 years?
Oh, Jesus.
That's rough shit, man.
God.
Calluses on his arms, calluses between his toes, calluses on his feet from shooting. He's definitely got hepatitis C. No, I faint if I see blood. I mean, I've done heroin, but
he has hepatitis C. He said that.
No, it's just the odds. It's just the more needles, the more chances you get of getting all that stuff.
Oh. You never shot it?
No.
Smoke?
Snorted.
Snorted. What does that do for you?
Just as fucked up. You get a little puke and you're off and running, Jack.
Really?
Yeah, I liked it.
Man.
In fact, I've been thinking about it lately.
You throw up and then you're like, then you're good?
Then you're back in black.
Wow. What does it feel like?
It's hard to describe. You feel warm.
Do you operate on it or do you just...
No. You're not going to fucking do shit. You're going to sit at home and veg and nod and wake up and you're going to puke and then you're going to get higher and the first couple times you just get dizzy. But I tell you what I remember from it is the warmth.
The warmth.
That's what the addict gets at that. Like they always said not to do two times in a row. You want to put the fucking phone away, Aaron?
Sorry.
You got to, you know, God forbid you can't text for the love of fucking Christ.
Some app that went off. Sorry.
Yeah, no, some fucking app.
I got my ad thing, yeah.
it's just really weird that, I mean, you ever sit in front of like, I'm a fat fuck, but I'm not a big McDonald's guy. So for me to sit at a light and look at people around McDonald's, I'm like, what are those people doing? But how many times did those people see me going into a liquor store, getting a pack of cigarettes?
Right, and thought of you as...
You know, like, look at that fucking idiot, you know. So I understand it from both perspectives. But heroin is something that you fuck with an open mind.
What do you mean?
You fuck with an open mind, like... You ever fuck a chick and 2 days later one of your friends pulls you over and says, dog, you know all of us fucked her.
Huh.
And she's a whore. Stop fucking around. But by the time you get her, you're like, she puts you together. She's nice. She's sweet.
Yeah, so now you don't know what to do?
So now, no. Well, guess what? You know, even though we want to believe that, whatever, she might cheat on you, it's all the same in perspective that when you get into heroin, you think that you're going to change it. That this isn't going to happen to you. That's what, remember years ago, Duncan was fucking around. He was fucking around with the satanist guy, the satanist, the fucking Satan guy.
Yeah.
You know, and I've seen how fast your life could change within minutes. With heroin, it goes from one extreme.
You're like, I'm fine. I'm just going to do a recreational drug once in a while.
Yeah.
And then.
You go from one extreme to the next. 1 minute, you're doing it on Friday nights. You're doing a little blast. Because in New York, they keep it in the powder form because the kids from the suburbs don't really want needle marks and shit.
Yeah.
And they think if they smoke it and if they snort it, they won't get addicted. But it fucks you up. It always gets you. Like, I just snorted it and I could fucking tell that it would kill somebody, you know? It would kill somebody if you...
If what?
If I shot it. I could tell that if I didn't have the patience at that time.
You would have died on it? You would have just kept trying to
get higher. Oh, yeah. It's such a, you know, with heroin, either you like it or you don't. It's like an Oxycontin times 10.
It's like an Oxycontin times 10?
Yeah, it's like an Oxycontin type fucking 10. And you really, really, like, the funniest thing, one night I came out in 95 was probably, I think I did it after that, but 95 was one of the most vivid ones because I was snorting a lot of coke. I was living in New York, 94, and I was doing comedy a lot. I was doing comedy at Little Hell Holes in New York.
Yeah.
And you met George, the guy that brought you the spare ribs and the thing. One night I went home, and I was fucked up on blowing alcohol. And I was laying there trying to fall asleep, and he came into the room, and he goes, "Hey, you don't need to go through that. Come on, let's do a line of heroin." So he chopped it up and he put it on the mirror, and I did this whole fucking thing.
What?
And I talked to him, this whole line of heroin that he had. I did the whole fucking thing and talked to him for a little while, and I don't know what happened. I fell asleep, and next morning when I woke up, he came in the bathroom and he told me, he goes, "You know that thing you did?" He goes, "That was a whole $20 bag." He goes, "And you didn't get that fucked up."
Because you were big back then already or not?
No, I wasn't big at all. I was 230, 240, not even, no, I was like 225.
Yeah.
And just the amount of heroin he said I did, he was getting good heroin. He was a junkie.
Yeah.
He would go to Chinatown.
George?
To Alphabet Street. Yeah, George was a really bad junkie.
Wow.
For 10 years. He really, like, I saw him a normal guy, and he started dating some girl.
Who was into it.
That was into it.
Yeah.
Because once you get a shot of heroin, somebody sucks your dick. And the sex is outrageous.
The best
sex
thing.
Is, it's off the fucking charts. But that's when you do taste
stuff. That's what this guy said.
But then, the longer that you do it, it becomes something else, like anything else you do. You know, cocaine, what it was for me in the beginning, wasn't what it was at the end of my 29-year run. In the beginning, it was this fun time drug. I got hard-ons. I got my dick sucked. I eat your pussy. I put it in your asshole. It was fun. Yeah. We got up in the morning, did another line, giggled. Oh, my God, it's so much fun. It's fun. And then it became this thing where you're not social no more. I had to do it by myself. I would lock the doors and lock the windows.
Oh, really?
And get high by myself.
And then it's different than when you started on it, when you fell in love with it.
No, it was different. You know, and for 10 years I did coke. I never got paranoid. And then all of a sudden one day it got into this thing where I had to lock the doors and look out windows, and it just became this fucking monster. Yeah. And at the end, I would do it. It was like I had to go on stage first to save myself, and then I would go do it. But I had to wait all fucking day because I couldn't do it and go on stage. There was no way. So I would have to go on stage at the Comedy Store and get the fuck out of there and go get it.
Immediately.
Because I couldn't even think straight. There was no conversation. There was nothing. Yeah, I'm done. Yeah. I would go right from the Comedy Store. I wouldn't even stop for lights on the drive. Like, I would just run the lights. I couldn't even think straight till I got to the guy's house, you know? Yeah. So I can't imagine. Now, when I moved to Hollywood, I met some girls, really knockout girls, in the building where Josh Wolf lived and myself on Sunset and
where,
Vista. Ralphie's lived around the corner.
Oh, okay.
Around the corner. 1417 North Vista was really one of my first addresses in L.A. And Josh Wolf lived there. And in the building lived these two exotic-looking chicks that were beautiful. But they were both on heroin. And I would go over there at night with blow and talk with them. And they were lesbians. They were into themselves. I got nothing, you know, they were beautiful. But they would tell me their strategies. Like, they had it to a different level. They wouldn't use soap when they bathed.
Why?
Because then your pores don't get clean. So,
they don't get clean if you use soap?
Right. If you use soap.
They get clogged up or something?
They get clogged up. So, that was it. It was. They wouldn't do that. They would eat chocolate. I guess when you eat chocolate,
yeah, I've heard about the chocolate.
It jazzes it back up.
I heard about the chocolate.
But there's so many different junky tricks.
Yeah,
to maintain. Like, a lot of people, like when I was in prison, they would talk about the cotton.
The cotton.
Like, let's say I had two shots.
Yeah.
Right. So I would give you a shot, and I'd do a shot, but it had a filter through the cotton. So the cotton ball had a thing. So for me looking out, I would get to do the cotton ball. which it's had a little bit of heroin in it. It's like cleaning out the pipe when you smoke weed.
Okay.
All right, you take a hit and I'll take a hit and I'll take that last hit of the ash. I'll get something out of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know those people like, you got any weed? And you're like, no. Like, you got a pipe and all of a sudden they're scraping it. That's those fucking vultures. But it's really amazing.
You're wasting the best part. That's what I said. Well, feel free.
You know, it's really amazing that I give thanks every day that God gave me an addictive personality, but he didn't give me needles, love for needles.
Yeah.
Like, if I would have had love for needles, there's no way I would have ever been here.
Really?
No, no.
It just gets you, right?
I would have loved heroin. I would have loved.
It hits you way harder than that.
Way
right?
harder. Like, when you fucking put coke in your arm, I heard that you do a shot of coke and you could taste it in your throat immediately.
Really?
Like, you're like, wow.
Wow.
I could taste it in my fucking throat, you know? Heroin has got to be, like, you get that white heroin that looks like coke and you shoot that. That's got to be fucking tremendous. I mean, I'm very fortunate. I'm really fortunate. I'm sorry about the young kid that got mixed by it. And I'm sorry. And it was the last drug I tried.
What young kid that got mixed by it?
The other guy that was a 25-year.
Yeah.
I'm really lucky every day I didn't get hooked on heroin. I loved it. I had one good friend that used to take me into the city with him. He would get heroin, and I would get pills.
Oh, really? You could buy your
Yeah, we'd go to
drug
McSorley's Ale House, and we'd go to Washington Square Park, and he had a connection around the corner. And I would go across the street to the park and get 8 Valiums for $10. And I would get fucked up on that motherfucker.
The only thing I had close to this was when we went to the mall, and I went to Thrasher's Fries, and my friend went to Cinnabon. That's as bad as I got. I didn't do what you did.
Sometimes you got to take a chance, but I'm very fortunate about all those things.
Man.
I didn't like...
Lucky you got out, because it can turn so bad so fast.
Fast.
Like, you get over the line. When I stopped smoking and then I started again, I saw it. I was like, oh, I'm about to be a full-time pack a day.
Full-time.
I got to get rid of this now or I'm done.
Full-time. You know, they always say in AA in those circles that even if you stop doing something, your addiction still grows.
Yeah.
You know, do I believe that part of it? But even me, when I started smoking on movie sets...
Yeah.
I started smoking on, like, dog, those Disney movies I was doing.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of people in there that smoked. I was in Colorado. And I was smoking on the weekends. The next thing you know, I was smoking at night. Next thing you know, I was smoking the day. Next thing you know, I was smoking a pack of cigarettes. I haven't smoked now since November 26th. I haven't smoked at all.
Never, really?
Yeah, yeah. But I haven't, not at all. It's the day after Thanksgiving. Huh. So
good for you. Why? Why? Just decided? Or what did you do one day? Just
4 months.
Fuck it?
Listen.
What'd you do? What'd you tell yourself?
There's people that smoke and do cardio and do all this shit. I was not one of those people.
No.
I was not. When I smoke, my cardio is completely fucking hard.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, I want to kickbox. I want to lose weight. I want to be healthy for my daughter. Fucking smoking cigarettes ain't the answer, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah,
that's true.
That's it. I got to go do this shit.
Okay.
I love you, cocksucker. Listen to Ari Shafir's podcast. I will be on Ari's podcast, on Ari's show, April 9th at the Cheetah.
Cheetahs
in Hollywood. Come on down.
7:30.
I'm gonna tell a heroin story and shit.
So yeah,
come on down.
You're probably gonna do the 7:30 show.
I'm doing the 7:30 show.
Yeah, but there's 7:30 and 9:30. We got a bunch of comics: Kinane, Bobby Lee, T.J. Miller, Sean Patton. Forgot who else? Maybe Key and Peele might come. And I forget.
You didn't ask Robin Williams last night.
I didn't ask Robin Williams last night.
Robin Williams last night.
Robin wanted to do it. He's out of town, and so is Burr and Kreischer. They'll do whatever for you or for a TV show.
All right. Well, I'm ready to go. April 9th, the Cheetahs in Hollywood Boulevard. Come on down.
Tweet out a link or you will
bring
too.
Bring a reefer. Get tickets
bring
now.
Bring exactly.
Tickets are going to go fast. Stay black, cocksuckers.
I think they might be free. All right. All right. Hey, guys, I got a new sponsor. I messed it up. I tried to do it before, but I didn't read it close enough. I'm so bad at these. But listen, squarespace.com. If you guys, it just helps you build websites. So if you go to squarespace.com/Ari, you get a free trial. It's a 1 month free trial. And if you use the word, the offer code skeptic, when you buy a plan, you'll get a 10% discount. So squarespace.com/Ari, offer code SKEPTIC. Thank you for supporting the show. And all it does is it helps you build websites. If you sign up for a year, they give you like a domain name for free. So whatever you want, squarespace.com/Ari. All right, let me do my dates and then we'll start the show. What should I name this episode? About the
heroin.
Just name the heroin?
That's it.
But this is the one though with the lighter guy.
What lighter?
The 21-year-old, not the 45-year-old.
So call it Lady Heroin. I don't.
All right, Lady Heroin it is.
What are you bothering me for?
All right, Chevere Skeptics, episode 109. Lady Heroin, what are you bothering me for? Thanks, Joey. With this guy named Jesse, nothing. Oh, I got to do my dates. San Diego, the 11th, 12th, and 13th. The American Comedy Company, or Co., they call it. As I said, April 9th, Cheetahs, Hollywood, and Vermont. I'm doing that storyteller show. This is not happening. Check my Twitter or website for... What's it called? It's details. Seattle and Olympia, April 20th. Seattle at 4:20 in the afternoon at the Parlor Live at Bellevue, not Seattle, I guess. And Olympia, 8:20 p.m. or 8 o'clock p.m. at the Urban Onion. You don't need a medical marijuana prescription to go. And then Austin, Texas, the Moon Tower Comedy Festival. I'm doing those storyteller shows, the 26th and 27th at midnight. I forgot what the address is, but get tickets. I know Dom Herrera is doing it. I still haven't asked anybody else. But whoever's there, I'll be getting people like that. Midnight shows on a Friday night and Saturday night. And then I'll do other stuff around town. You should go to Moon Tower. It's a great festival. Then me and Joey Diaz in Phoenix on May 9th at Stand Up Live. One show only, May 9th, Stand Up Live. And then I'll be in fucking New York after that. I got a showcase and whatever, but yeah, I'll be gone after that. I got Columbus. I'm doing Rock at the Range. Me and my friend Big J. Gonna go watch Soundgarden and Smashing Pumpkins. If you're out there, fucking come. Mine's on the 18th. No, my show is the 17th. No, the 18th, Saturday.
You're good. Everything.
All right, and then in the end of May, the 31st. All right, 30th, 31st, and 1st of June. I'm at Clandestiny in Toronto.
Yo, how many dates you gonna give them?
Just say that?
Only the three ahead, and that's it. They're not going to remember about July 18th. Put that on your webpage. Sit there for a fucking hour. Tell these people. They're sitting there like, yeah, September 10th. I'm in fucking hell. It's fucking April. Put the next three, and you move on. You're
going to
sit there for a fucking hour. That shit to do. Come on. I'm in Toronto. Don't go there.
I just do it quick.
Doing it. Are you fucking crazy? I told my buddy was dying. Yeah.
It was 2 minutes.
June 18th.
Yeah. Sorry, all right. Chevere Skeptic, episode 109. Lady Heroin.
Morons are going to remember. Yeah, wow. It's September, really? You give them the three dates in front of you and that's it. Focus on those. Don't worry about nothing else, nothing else. Your webpage should have your dates ahead of
you. AriTheGreat.com. Yeah, go to my webpage.
Don't worry about nothing. Only your three dates, so this is... I think you don't confuse them.
How about if I say just like, and then coming up, not even that. How about if I say Toronto, Winnipeg, all coming up?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Just, why confuse them? Do three dates. That's it.
All right, three dates.
Don't confuse them.
Okay.
With me, if I do a podcast tomorrow, April 19th, I'm at the South Beach Comedy Festival, and May 1st, I'm in fucking Austin. That's it.
Okay.
Go to your web. That's too many. What are you, a billboard?
Yeah, I don't know.
No.
It's the only reason I do this.
No, pound just the two in front of you.
Just the two.
That's why everybody,
next month.
The other day he fucking called
next
me.
Month.
So when you go to New York, is that the only place you want to go? Yeah, Justin. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
I'm flying to New York. Yeah, what do you want to do? I know you whores would like to send me to Baltimore and for me to get on a plane and get off another plane. That's not necessary. It's the law of diminishing returns.
Right.
Somewhere you're going to fuck up.
Most people listen to this the first few days it's out.
That's it. Just right, what's in front of you. Don't worry about June or July. These people, you got to assume they're morons. How many times have you gone to a city, got back, and you get 10 people go, when are you going to be in Chicago?
Yeah, that's what I want to avoid.
No, because they're idiots.
Right.
They're idiots.
They fuck get those people, you're saying.
Yeah, fuck those motherfuckers. You don't want to do business with them anyway.
Yeah.
They're too fucking stupid. Where the fuck were you? I just posted 18 times on my Twitter. I said it on Rogan, and I said it on my fucking podcast. You didn't get it? Dude, I don't want you around. Blocked. You're too stupid. I don't want you around. If you confuse them, and that's why I keep telling Justin these guys, just weird work with what's in front of you. Sell with what's
in front of you. So what did you say about your t-shirts and stuff too?
No, yeah, I got t-shirts, joeycocodias.net. Everything goes to, you're pushing them to that page.
Right.
In a year, you're not going to push nobody else. You're going to push your webpage.
Just the webpage.
Yeah.
AriTheGreat.com. Got t-shirts it. There.
Because you should be selling t-shirts from there.
CDs. I had CDs.
CDs and dates. So your whole conversation is to push them from there. No longer are you going to make Cherry's Berries $10,000. They're going to give you $718.
Right.
$40 for three fucking strawberries. Really?
Yeah.
Really Cherry's Berries and you want to give me 60%? No. Joe Rogan is a genius. Like I said, he's just an alpha brain.
Strung out a thing. Calling some friend, trying to cash some check. He's acting dumb, that's what you've come to expect. Feeling the hay, feeling the hay, feeling the hay, needle in the hay.
All right, fuck it, we're on. So, wait, what were we talking about just a second ago? Oh, weed legalization.
Yeah, legalization in Canada, at least.
Yeah, Montreal, they don't care at all. Toronto, they do a little.
More so, I think, in the eastern Canada than it is because, like, the OPP, Ontario Provincial Police, are pretty crooked and stuff like that, so I find...
Why, what are they? Who are they?
The Ontario Provincial Police.
That's just the cops?
Yeah.
Oh, the OPP. Ontario.
Yeah. Okay. But between that to Toronto and stuff like that, I don't know much other about, like, you know, Nova Scotia or Halifax or anything like that.
Halifax seems to, like, be pretty laid back. I've never been there, but they just all seem like...
They're also all drunk all the time, too. So
yeah. They're just fishermen there, right?
Yeah. Half Irish fishermen.
Uh-huh. Just went too far north, and the border closed beneath them. They're like, oh, I guess we're Canadians now.
Yeah, they won't let us into the States. They won't let us into Quebec. Because we're just going to stay here.
So here's the deal. Vancouver is known for many things. Its culture and the Asians, but also the fucking sweet heroin district that's running up and down here. What were you doing in that scene?
I fell into that scene, man. I don't know. It was just like I was working a lot, doing lots of stuff, and I ended up being with a roommate. That's how I started getting into the thing.
So he smoked her, did heroin, or how did he do it?
Yeah, he was smoking it and snorting it and stuff like that, which I until recently found out he was also injecting it as well, just to make it a little bit more, you know.
What, he was nervous about sharing that part?
No, never sharing that part before. But just, then, like,
that's where he was embarrassed?
I'd come home from work, like, really drunk and stuff like that, you know, want to lay back, just relax or something like that, and then that's kind of how it started. It's kind of unfortunate.
Just do some heroin.
Yeah.
Wait.
Just kick back. It's like, you know, this seems like a good idea at the time.
You would get it from your roommate?
Yeah.
And then, did you buy it off him at first?
No, I wouldn't even have to pay for it at first. I would just ask. Yeah, I was just like, just go for it. I'm going to do it.
And did he have a lot of it?
Yeah, well, most of the time he would, except when he did it all.
Yeah. And then his supply would be going down.
But then I'd pay for it.
So then you started doing it. And you started smoking it at first? How'd you start it at first?
Yeah, I started smoking it at first, and it just didn't really seem like much of a thing. It would just kind of, like, you know, lay back, relax me, kind of like weed or something like that. But
why? What would,
like,
it do to you?
Well, it's just like, it's a really very euphoric thing. Basically, it makes you feel like $1 million while you're doing it. Like, you can't really compare anything else in the world to it, to how it makes you feel in heaven or hell standards, because it makes you feel amazing, and then on the other side it makes you feel like the worst, evilest, darkest piece of shit.
Why? In
the
world. Afterwards or during?
Afterwards. Yeah, or when you don't have it.
Oh.
Yes.
Because you get used to feeling that way?
No, you get used to feeling that way, and eventually you just don't even get high anymore. You use it to feel normal after a while.
Yeah, that's how I get my pot once in a while. Where I'm like, yeah, I'm just fine now. I guess I'm just back to where I should be. Wait, so you started smoking it at first?
Yeah.
And wait, does it do that? Can you go out and, like, walk around on it? Or do you,
oh,
you
yeah,
just,
you
like,
totally
zonk
into your... No, you look totally fine. Like, no one ever knew that I was on it. Like,
really?
For a year and a half, no one had any idea I was doing it. So, like, all my best friends, my family, they had no idea. I would look pretty normal because I could afford it.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I was like, once you can pay for it...
Why? Well, how come you could afford it? How much does it cost?
No, that's $20 a point.
A point?
Whereas a gram of weed, 10 points, so it's $20 a point. So you're looking at, like, that much.
What okay, so a tiny bit, like a dot on one of those candy papers,
pretty much.
Wait, and then how long would that last? Would that be a hit worth enough or not even?
That would, like, if I had to, I could make that even last the whole day whilst feeling sick as a dog later at night, or not being able to sleep, because you cannot sleep after using it, basically. Like, it'll make you really tired.
Yeah.
And if you don't have it, you can't pass out whatsoever.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like you'll be up for days if you can't, sweating.
You go to sleep on it.
Yeah.
Okay.
It makes you, it's so euphoric, it'll make you just pass right out.
All I ever saw was train spotting, and they would take it, they would shoot it up, and then they would just like sort of fall back.
Yeah, exactly. It was kind of
amazing. Is it like that?
Yeah, it's pretty much like that. Well, smoking, it's a little bit more gradual, whereas like slamming it into your arm is just like, it just cracks you in the face, and it's over.
Wait, okay, okay. Well, let's go in some sort of order here. Sorry. Yeah. Okay, so you start taking this stuff. How often?
Well, when I started taking it?
Yeah.
When I started taking it, it was just like I said, like really gradual. Throughout like the night, I would just do like a little bit and a little bit, but then I'd start coming home and I'd want to do a little bit more, a little bit more. And then eventually I was picking it up before work and I was doing it while I was working.
What'd you do?
I was a chef.
Okay.
So I was running a kitchen.
That seems like a job you could do fucked up.
No, not necessarily.
Yeah.
No, it's not pretty necessarily, it's hectic and stressful, but really? You know, when you're, you know, high out of your mind, everything's not stressful at all. Right. You just don't care.
Yeah. 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 Reminds me of this Rory school a little bit. Wait, what was I going to tell you? So you could get around, you could actually do the work you needed to.
Oh, yeah, definitely. As long as I.
On how many of those bumps or hits? Or points, whatever you call them, points.
Well, sometimes I would do, I don't know, two or three of those a day, sometimes four, sometimes five. It depends how much money I had, but all the money went to that.
And how much was it? $10 a point?
$20 a point.
$20 a
point. $40 a quarter gram. I don't know.
Some so shit. You could do like $100 a day worth
easy.
Of it?
Easy.
That's a lot because you can barely make that much.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's a lot of income.
Yeah, it's a lot of income. You'd be surprised, actually.
But if you were making like millions, then you could totally do it.
Yeah, but then you'd be a millionaire heroin addict, what would you?
I bet there are some, though, right?
Guaranteed, there has to be. Well, if there's cokehead lawyers, there's got to be millionaire heroin addicts.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, this lawyer is so aggressive today. And there are cokehead lawyers, right? That's what they all do. Wait, okay, so then, okay, so you're doing whatever, 10, 20, you're working at a shift.
Yeah.
You'd work for maybe 40, 50 bucks a week, up to like $100.
Yep, roughly. And then it got kind of bad, actually, at that point when I was just like, when I actually started to rely on using it and stuff like that. And like, it was so great.
How long did that take?
Maybe less than a month.
Less than a month from starting to being.
To like full on hooked.
Okay.
Yeah. And I was doing coke and heroin the entire time while I was at work. I would do both.
Yeah.
Sometimes, depending on what I was feeling like that day, basically. But other than that, like, yeah, like I would. Fuck, man, I started to even steal from the restaurant.
To pay for it?
To pay for it.
Because you were out of money already?
Yeah, I was already out of money.
How much did you have to begin with?
None.
Oh, okay.
I was like, what, 19 years old?
I'm 20, oh, yeah, so you had like $200 saved up? And you were like, cool, I can do a bunch of heroin.
Not even. It was just live by the seat of your pants at that moment in time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's about it. But like, yeah, no, it was so gradual. And then I just like started to like steal to support the habit. And that's when it got really bad.
Who'd you steal from?
From the restaurant, like right out of the till, because I'd be the first person in the restaurant in the morning to open the entire place, basically. And so I just like, I knew exactly where the money was and just go
and take it. And they didn't know.
Yeah, slip it out.
Restaurants are so disorganized.
Yeah, so disorganized.
There's so many stories of employees just walking out with like their last day. They just steal a bunch of cash.
Yeah, exactly.
Or they've been doing it for years. They never know.
Exactly. But it really, you know, sucks when it comes down to it. You don't want to be that person.
How are you going to pay people fucking $75 a day and then get surprised when they've been stealing from you to make a normal wage?
Exactly. Here's $9 an hour.
Yeah.
Work your ass off for 10.
Haha, we totally underpay you. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, don't take things from us that you're not supposed to have.
Yeah, it's like, fuck you. Exactly. It's like the lions that get a chance to jump on their trainer.
Totally. But no, that got pretty bad, and then... you know, once you become an addict, I have to say that you always kind of gravitate towards other addicts and stuff like that. So, like,
so you start hanging out with more heroin heads.
Yeah.
What
are they called?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Heroin heads? No.
No, they'd be just junkies.
Junkies.
Yeah.
Okay.
Junkies. I had another roommate that I was living with who ended up, he used to do it, and then he went to rehab, and then he started hanging out with me, and then he started doing it again.
Doing it again. Yeah.
Yeah, and so we got really messed up to the point where, I don't know, as a case example here, we would go down to the Vancouver library, sit in the library, and he would sit across from a rich looking Asian girl and slip her purse out from underneath her, slide it right next to him, and then I would walk past, grab it, and walk away.
Whoa.
That's how bad it started to get, and that's when I was like, holy shit, I need to get a fucking grip.
Whoa.
But yeah, but like, we
that's a good scam.
Yeah, it worked way too easily, way too many times, and I was just like, and then I started to feel really guilty after a while.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah.
You felt guilty?
I definitely felt guilty.
Why?
because I was taking from people I didn't know. It was just like, even though there are these little rich Asian girls with their parents paying for absolutely
everything. You don't really know.
Everything. Yeah. Like, I don't know them. But I definitely have their cell phone, credit cards, and all their money, and yen now.
Did you ever steal yen? You got some yens?
Yeah, actually, one time we got like something ridiculous, like 50,000 yen or something, traded it in.
Wait, isn't that worth like a two cans of Coke?
No, it was like $400.
Oh, okay. I knew it was something ridiculous. I didn't know how much.
Oh, yeah, to a junkie, big score.
Wait, how did you get fired from being the chef?
I got let go. They didn't actually fire me, but like it was funny because I got let go not just for being caught stealing the cash. Which
they caught you.
They actually caught me because I was such a retard and so out of it one day that I went to go take a bottle of wine and I stuffed it in the freezer and I left it in the freezer. And when the next guy came in or the boss came in, he saw the wine in the freezer. He like totally busted me on that.
He's like, "What are you doing with this?"
He's like, "Are you taking this?" And it had smashed.
Because of the cold?
Yeah. I was just like, oh, well then. there's nothing you could say to that.
Yeah.
But they didn't arrest me. They didn't do anything, you know.
They just said, get out of here?
Yeah, they just said, just go.
Whoa. Yeah. And they didn't realize how much money you were taking. Maybe they started to.
They had no idea.
Yeah. Wow. So then you lost that job. Okay. So you're stealing money. How old are you now?
21.
21.
And I was 19 at the time.
Okay. Yeah. Do you have any girlfriends at the time?
Lots of them.
Okay. So that never got in the way of fucking heroin?
There's another point right there. Actually, that is when, besides the whole stealing guilt thing, that's when I realized that I needed to actually quit and get off the shit. It's because, like, you just lose absolutely all interest in sex.
Really?
And stuff like that. Like, 'cause it makes you feel like you're fucking. Like, it makes you feel like that. Like, it's like, you know, after you just blow your load and you're just like, you know that feeling?
Yeah.
Yeah, you probably felt that.
Maybe like right
last
before.
Night, maybe before I got here. Anyways. But yeah, they... and then some of the girls would just be like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Why don't you want to fuck me and stuff like that? Because I go through so
many... And so you didn't even want to. Your libido was down.
Yeah, like I'd be working all day and then doing drugs all day. And then I'd come home and I'd just be like, fuck, I just want to sleep. I don't even want anything to do with you.
It would make you tired enough you could just sleep. You would do it one more time and go to sleep.
Yeah.
So you do it all day and then hit it one more.
Maybe more than that.
That's what I do with weed.
The girls had no idea up until one girlfriend that I was living with for about 8 months.
Yeah.
And she's like, what are you doing? And she had no idea. Like, she did not even know the entire time. And then, like, one day I was just like, fuck it. And I told her and fucking shit hit the goddamn fan. It was over after that. Like, she fucking hit me and just went fucking crazy. Like, absolute psycho.
Wow.
It was an interesting...
She found out.
No, I told her.
You said, okay.
Because she was, like, stressing out about, like, what the hell was going on with me, and obviously I didn't want to tell her.
And you're like, I do a bunch of heroin.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, who the fuck do you want to tell that? It's like, I'm a junkie. That's, like, the lead... It's like, that's the last thing you ever want to tell anybody, let alone, like, your girlfriend or your parents or something like that.
So you don't think any of them ever suspected?
Well, they obviously suspected something because they realized that, like, after I started seeing them, they didn't realize that I was... that fucked up.
Yeah,
I guess they just really couldn't tell.
They just thought you were like a tired person.
And then after that one girlfriend, like I was clean for about 3 months or something like that, and then we broke up and I started going out with this other girl, and I was, you know, still clean and stuff like that, and we started living together for another 3 or 4 months.
Yeah.
And she was a cool chick, and then she cheated on me, and then automatically, like, just
right back to the
right back into it, like full blown, even harder than I was before, just like everything and then some. Like,
back to the rock, not the rock, whatever it's called.
Back to the down.
The down?
Yeah, the down.
That down. I've heard that term.
The nod.
The down. Wow. What else do they call heroin?
Horse,
yeah.
Horse, that's an American thing, I think I've heard. Down is probably the most popular one. Ron, as you said earlier.
Why? Okay. Heron. Oh, right. Yeah.
It's just quote unquote lingo.
And so then you broke up with her, or she broke up with you?
Well, I broke up with her because she fucking cheated on me and I busted her.
Oh, right.
And so I was just like, just went off the fucking rails.
That's why I used to do cigarettes, but man, cigarettes didn't hurt me as bad.
Yeah, exactly. At least, not that you know of.
Yeah, you catch her cheating?
More or less, actually. We're at the bar.
Yeah.
With a bunch of... My friend was playing a show. It was downtown at the Cobalt.
Yeah.
He's playing a show, and my girlfriend goes off to talk with one of her friends, and lo and behold, one of my lady friends was standing right behind her at the bar, and she was bragging about cheating on me. Like, she's just...
Oh, really?
Yeah, she was fucking bragging about it. She's, and, like, my friend heard her literally right behind. She's like, dude, like, you're getting played so hard right now. Like, texted it to me while she's talking, and I was just like, oh, man, it's so choked.
So what did you ask her? Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I fucking called her out. I was like, look. I was like,
what did you call on the phone?
No, she was right next to me. She was like 10 feet away from me. Okay. Brought her outside. I was like, this is fucking done. And she didn't deny it. She didn't fucking back out. There was no, no ifs, ands, or buts. It was just, okay, you busted me.
You got me. Yeah, sure. Let's be done. I always think people should just break up if they're going to start cheating a bunch.
Yeah. Maybe it's the thrill of the hunt.
Maybe, but like, if you're bragging to people, if you're into like, maybe they're just into the cheating thing.
That's, I don't know. I do not understand that.
Yeah.
At least... Yeah,
I can already tell my listeners are going to get so mad at that tinkling of your tongue ring, but it's all right. Let them get mad. I don't care. Okay, all right. Let's see where we are now. So when did you start injecting it?
Injecting?
Yeah.
I didn't actually start injecting very often ever, actually. It scared the shit out of me.
Yeah, really. Why? That, like, seems like a junkie? That's a junkie line?
Oh, it makes me shudder to think now, like, what it's like. It's just dirty, man.
Really?
Yeah, it's just fucking dirty.
Like, what's that mean? I've heard that described like that before.
Well, it's just like you're cooking down your shit in a spoon, and you're injecting it into a needle. And then after you've got it cooked down and into your needle and stuff like that, hopefully it's not enough that's going to kill you.
What do you mean? Okay, what do you mean cooked down? Like, you have a normal amount of powder?
Well, you have, like, say, like the point thing that I was talking to you about earlier. Like, say you have that point.
And that point is powder, or that point is just
powder.
It's in powder form.
Most of the time, it's white powder or even brown.
Held together, or how does it come?
Sometimes it's loose, like not like they give it to you in a hand. Yeah, but like they'll put it in balloons and stuff like that.
Okay. Most
drug dealers will do that. But so you just basically put it in with some water into a spoon. You cook it with a lighter, and then you just like pull it up. Like you just kind of inject with the syringe into the
syringe. Wait, it cooks with the water, and then what, the water bakes off?
The water basically cleans out all the impurities and stuff like that. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to do it or put it into the syringe otherwise.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it liquefies it, too.
Yeah. And what really the gross part about it is...
Why is it gross? That sounds cleaner.
No, it's not even that clean. Well, because you're sticking it into your arm, man. It's like, first of all, you got to find a vein.
Yeah. So
you're sitting there tapping away trying to find a fucking vein, basically. And most people, after they've, you know, injected long enough, they basically collapse all the veins in their arms. You hit it so many times with that needle that you've bruised it and scarred it and damaged it that you can't even put it in your arm anymore.
Whoa.
So some people go for their feet.
In between the toes, right?
Or even like the veins in the top of your foot and shit that. Like, it's just fucking brutal, man.
What happens if you just inject it into, like, if you don't find a vein, just go and inject?
It'll probably just like inflammate really, really, really fucking fast, and it'll just like go... I've seen it happen to somebody before.
Just
actually
blow up?
Yeah, because he had tattoos right there, and he would always inject it into the eye of the skull on his arm, and he did into that, and the eye of the skull just went...
Whoa.
Like a balloon, man. Like, it was just like... And it just, like, got inflamed and, like...
For how long?
It took about 4 days to go down. It was just full of fluid and shit. It was disgusting.
Whoa. Did it get him fucked up, at least?
No.
Oh.
Nothing happened. Screwed the man up. Fucked him over. Poor guy. He ended up going to the hospital for other things. I feel kind of bad for that. But, it's just so... But the dirtiest part about it is really, like, you have to find your fucking vein and then pull... Like, you have to continue pulling up, because if you don't find a vein until blood goes into the syringe, so you have to, like, pull until blood shoots into the syringe, and then you know you found a vein, basically, and then you just honk it back, and then it's, like, instantaneous...
Gone.
On the fucking ground, man.
Do you ever like leave it in your arm? You're just like, fuck, can't even get it out. Like people when they smoke cigarettes in bed.
I'm fully covered in tattoos, and I don't mind needles that way, but needles other ways, I don't want it sticking in anywhere. I don't do acupuncture.
Well, oh, really? I did it once. It was pretty fun, except they hit like a bone once, and that killed.
In rehab, they offered me acupuncture, and I was like, what kind of thing would you want to give a junkie to stick needles in him and then stick them in his ears and his arms?
You're going to have a flashback.
Yeah, exactly.
Wait, so how long does it take to kick in? Like, really, like 10 seconds?
Instantly.
Like,
as soon as it hits bloodstream, it hits your heart and it's done. So probably about 3 or 4 seconds.
But you still have enough wherewithal to take it out and put it down?
Yeah.
And take off the yeah. Do you put that rubber thing on?
No, I never did.
The attacher, whatever it's called?
I was never into that. I honestly, like, just smoked it and snorted it, mostly.
Yeah.
Snorting is actually, to tell you the truth, I've never been more scared in my life, when I was snorting that shit, because...
Why?
Because it's not like doing coke or anything like that. You can't do big lines. You can't do large amounts of it.
Yeah.
Like, you do, like, literally a couple grains, and you'll be fucking throwing up. Like, it makes you physically ill.
Wow.
Like, think the worst.
When you snort it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or, well, when you do it at all, it makes you physically ill. It'll make you.
My friend Steve said that. So he has fear of barfing. Yeah. And everyone was smoking some heroin. So he's like, all right, I'm going to do some heroin first time. And the first guy smoked it and then passed it to the second guy. And the second guy, as the second guy was smoking it, the first guy started barfing. And then the second guy passed it to Steve and he took it. And right when he was about to hit it, the second guy started barfing. And he's like, oh, no, I don't want to barf. Yeah, because I'm out. I'm just out.
Not like it didn't seem like a good idea before smoking it. But
he just hates barfing.
Yeah, it's just like, I don't even know about myself. I always laugh about that kind of thing. It's just like, you wake up that one day. It's like, you know, I'm going to try it.
Yeah, is that good. Just the first time that you barf?
No.
Oh, it's consistent.
Like I said, it makes you physically ill when you don't have it, and sometimes it makes you physically ill even when you are on it. So, like, just imagine the worst flu you've ever fucking had.
Yeah.
Sweating, cold and hot sweats, like, nothing makes you comfortable, and you're just nauseated constantly and just agitated. It's just, like, it's, like, the worst thing you could ever put yourself through. It's, like, making yourself, it's, like, basically paying to be sick.
Wow.
Yeah.
But then you feel so good. Describe it.
It's like fucking ecstasy. It's okay. Like, take like the best orgasm you ever had, like they say in Trainspotting, multiply it by 1,000 and you're still nowhere near.
Wow. Everyone should try that, right?
Without blowing your load in your pants, of course, but
hopefully. Right, there's no sexual feelings towards it. Is it just feeling good, like, around God?
Like, mentally, like, you do kind of get, like, this sexual thing. Like, I'm not going to lie, sex on it, fucking amazing.
Really?
Like, fucking amazing. As long as you can, you know, keep it going.
Because everything's amazing on it.
Yeah, everything, while you're on it. And then afterwards, later, yeah. It's just, like, it's completely the opposite.
You're like, why don't I have this anymore?
No, it's more just like, I need this now so that I can feel normal, so that I don't feel sick. I fucking need it, and I will do whatever I can to get it.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, and that's when you start stealing, because I gotta do something.
Yeah. When you're spending all your money, working 10 hours a day, and you're still stealing money.
That's right, you're still working. Wait, what's the biggest, like, thieving you ever got done? Like, what's the biggest score?
Well, like I said, with like those Asian girls, they would usually
have the
most.
That was a consistent one.
Yeah, they would usually have the most.
Yeah.
When it came down to it.
Did you ever steal from your friends or your family?
Yep. Definitely friends. And all those friends I've totally owned up to and stuff like that.
You were like,
I told them everything. And like, we're all good on that page now. They understand.
Yeah.
They understood. And everything's good. Still my best friends ever, like, people.
My friend David, we were sitting at a restaurant, and this guy, Mac, our other friend, he was kind of an addict at the time, and so we had all this extra beer from a show, just like warm beer, but he didn't care. And he saw us at some restaurant. It was like 2 a.m. We were about to order.
Yeah.
And he goes, do you have any extra beer? And he's like, yeah, I have like a case in my car if you want to get it. And he's like, yeah, let's go. And I was like, just give me your keys, because one of the guys, he goes, no, I'll just walk him over there. And then he came back. He was like, you can't trust an addict, dude. I'll give him the beers, but like, he can't even blame him. That's just the behavior.
It's a famous saying, never trust a junkie. Even junkies don't trust junkies.
Really?
Yeah. That's the joke. You can have junkie best friends, but they're not your friends.
Because you're so, like, worried about them all
the time. It's more, you just care about yourself and your habit, more or less.
Yeah, what did it do to your friendships?
Broke them down completely. I would go AWOL. I wouldn't see anybody or talk to anybody for weeks at a time. Like, I know tons and tons of people in the city, and, like, I would just, you know, I just work and use, and that was it.
Yeah.
And I would just try to avoid people most of the time, because I didn't, you know, I didn't want people to know that. It's just like, there's nothing proud about doing what you're doing
when you're doing it. Yeah. Well, in front of other, like, people that were using it, could you, like, brag about it and stuff? Like, hey.
There's nothing to brag about.
Why? What do you mean?
Because everybody that uses it knows they're a piece of shit.
Oh.
You know you're stuck when you're on it. The only thing you can laugh about, really, is the fact that you guys know that you're stuck.
Like, really? Like, you know you're stuck?
Yeah, you know you're fucked, and that's what you laugh about when you're using it, is the fact that there's not much you can do to get out of it short of going to rehab, detox, or taking methadone.
What's methadone? Methadone is the one that just clears you out?
Methadone is a government-supplied drug that's basically synthetic heroin that doesn't necessarily get you high, but it curves the cravings, basically.
Is it like the nicotine patch?
More or less, yeah. But like, whereas the nicotine patch will inject you with a little bit of nicotine, this will basically just make the withdrawal symptoms slightly not as good. I never took methadone, actually. I just went cold turkey when I stopped using.
Which really?
Really fucking hard. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a time for sure.
What was that like? Did you get the sweats and the shakes?
You don't sleep. You shake. You sweat. You hear shit.
You hear shit?
Yeah.
Audible hallucination?
Auditory hallucinations.
That's what it is. Yeah. Really?
Yeah. Sometimes if you're alone in the middle of the night, covered in a sheet, and you're still sweating, and it's just there's nothing you can do. You could just not be comfortable the entire time.
What kind of stuff would you hear?
Mostly just things from your own head, and so it would be like listening to yourself think out loud because nothing else is going on in your head, and the only thing you're thinking about is wanting to use.
Yeah.
So it's just like there's like flashes of pictures in your head of using and stuff like that. Like I've had dreams, like even till this day, of like, in my dream, I start using in the dream, and I wake up like, holy shit, man. Like it's like, whoa. Like, I wake up thinking, like, I fucked up, but I'm
dreaming. Yeah. I did that in cigarettes, and I did that once I cut out carbs for, like, 6 months.
Carbs? Are you dreaming about donuts and shit?
I was dreaming about nachos, and I woke up, like, oh. I was like, oh, no, wait. Oh, no. Oh, okay, it was a dream. I was okay. I'm still going.
It's funny, because you can eat nachos, because they're made of corn.
Oh, whatever. Really? Yeah, maybe you're right.
You can't talk to a chef about food, sorry.
I never even thought about that. Why was I dreaming about stuff I could have? Nachos are allowed?
Subliminally, your body's like, just give it to me.
Nachos aren't carbs?
No, if you use corn chips have no carbohydrates.
So what do they use? Flour tortilla chips?
Flour tortilla, but corn tortillas don't have
carbohydrates. Oh, who makes corn tortilla chips?
Everyone in Mexican and their grandfather?
No, I mean like at the supermarket.
Who makes corn ones?
Yeah. Tostitos? I'm saying like, what brand? Doritos? There's no Doritos corn tortillas.
Yeah, like you couldn't do the whole multigrain ones. For sure.
Multigrain.
Grain doesn't work.
But corn is not a grain?
Corn is not a grain.
Man, so you corn can get away with that with carbs?
Vegetable. Actually, there's not any nutritional value in corn whatsoever.
Like, oh, really? It's actually
devoid of nutritional value.
It just is.
It just is.
Just caloric.
Makes good whiskey, though.
Yeah. Okay, so let me get back to this. I had a question, but I've forgotten it now. You took from your friends. You didn't have friends. Oh, something about train spotting. Did you ever see that train spotting thing? I'm a junkie for weed. You ever see that train spotting thing where he tries to clean up and he sees a baby crawling on the ceiling, like turns his head around and stuff?
Nothing. I never saw anything like that. That's for sure. That's obviously a little bit cinematographically.
Yeah. He was shooting up though every day too. Yeah,
every day. Yeah. And he was messed up. And that's all based on true stories and stuff like that too. But that was like,
oh, really? Well,
yeah, definitely. Irvin Welsh, yeah.
He
also just wrote a new book called Skag Boys, and it's the prequel to Trainspotting.
Really?
Which I would also really like to read, because I think it would be fantastic.
Skag Boys?
Skag Boys, yeah.
Maybe people can get it on Amazon, on my Amazon link, by going to my website.
Yeah, here, check it out.
Amazon.ca link, or .com.
Picture of me and then Skag Boys next to it or something like
Skag
that.
Skag Boys?
Yeah.
So what is it, before they were all friends? Or?
Well, it's like kind of how they started using drugs and stuff like that. And then whereas Trainspotting would be the eventuality of
it. Oh, they should make that movie.
Yeah. It's got to happen eventually.
Yeah, Trainspotting was so good.
But what happened in the 90s, actually, with Trainspotting is it glamorized using heroin so much is that people just started doing it like crazy.
Oh,
it was
really?
Between Pulp Fiction and Trainspotting, like, you know, Vincent Vega, Pulp Fiction.
With the heroin.
Shooting up and stuff like that. And then Trainspotting came out, and it just exploded. It glamorized it. It made it, like, fashionable again and stuff like that. I don't know how it's possible, but
well, the same thing happened with Swingers. It wasn't even a big movie, but then everybody started swing dancing all the time because they were like, that looks amazing.
Was Vince Vaughn in that movie?
Uh-huh. That was I thought that you were gonna say like it got so popular that everyone's like, ugh, it's too much, everyone's talking about it.
No, it just became what's the word I'd be looking for there, it became too sociable, I think, at that point. Like, it was like so many people were doing it, it wasn't really seen as a big deal because everybody was doing it, apparently, in the 90s. I heard from another chef that I used to work on, like, you know, those big freights that come in on the ships and stuff like that? Like, one of those was found absolutely full of the best heroin ever in the world.
Whoa.
And they found that, and that flooded the streets of Vancouver for at least 6 or 7 years.
Who found
actually.
It?
Just a bunch of people that worked down there, and they realized what it was, and then I guess they started distributing it. Like,
wait, what was it? It was seized by the cops?
No, it wasn't seized by the police.
It would have been distributed anyway. Whose was it?
Nobody knows. They just found it in this gigantic crate, and it was distributed, and it flooded the streets for about 7 years in Vancouver.
They just found a truckload of heroin?
Yeah.
What? That sounds like it's either some gangsters want to kill them, because that makes it worth so much, or it's the government doing it on purpose.
I wouldn't dispute it either way, tell you the truth.
What are you, just a fucking, where are the retributions? Whose was it?
Yeah, no, I'm sure someone's dead.
When,
guaranteed,
oh, right.
Somebody's died.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Maybe just
a couple million, I don't know, 10, 20, 30 million. I don't know how much that
for
would
be. For 7 years it supplied?
Yeah.
Heroin to Vancouver.
And I've heard stories from people that went through that and stuff like that, like other people that I've met throughout these times of mine.
Yeah.
And they told me about it because everybody knew about it at the time because it just was a thing in Vancouver.
Do you go to AA ever?
I've been to lots of NA meetings, Narcotics Anonymous.
Okay.
And
there's the only thing that means nicotine anonymous, and it doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't make sense.
I know it doesn't mean that.
There's CA, which is Cocaine Anonymous.
Just for that, just for coke.
Just for cocaine. Which I thought would be funny if they had an HA, like Heroin Anonymous, but that would be like Hell's Angels. I don't think they're allowed to do that. Imagine
yeah.
a bunch of guys and bikes come up.
It's like WWF. Had to change their name because of the World Wildlife Federation. yeah, Heroin Anonymous doesn't want to deal with that kind of hassle legally.
Could you imagine, though? It'd just be a bunch of people sleeping.
Yeah.
Bring your own pillows.
I'm reading a book about Sexaholics Anonymous.
I might need to borrow that book.
It's called Choke. I'm not done with it yet. It's by the guy who wrote Fight Club. But he was like, the problem is everyone has their drug on them, so they can supply that to other people. So it's mm-hmm. like, I love to fuck all the time. Oh, here's somebody else who loves to fuck all the time. And they're holding fuck. You know what I mean? It's not like, okay, just don't bring heroin to
I'm copping fuck right now.
Yeah. And so it's like, they just go to broom closets and stuff all the time. And they're just like, fuck. And
as
they
long
learn
as
new.
You can find a skank or, you know.
But that's who's there. That's the women that are also there.
And
they're all just meeting each other.
Oh, that makes
sense. It's like if someone was made out of heroin and they were going to an NA meeting. You know what I mean? And he only couldn't do his own heroin.
An elephant in the corner of the room.
They'd all be looking at him. He's like, guys, I want to get clean too. And they're like, I want to snort you.
It reminds me of that Simpsons episode where like Homer sells his soul for
yeah.
a donut, and then his head turns into a giant donut. He's like, Marge is like, Homer, stop picking. He's like, oh, but I'm so sweet.
Yeah, he keeps eating at his head. It's going away.
Cops are sitting outside. He's got to come out sometime.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, but yeah, like relationships on the stuff. That was a whole different story, actually, to tell you the truth. Like,
why?
Well, like I actually ended up dating one girl, and the irony was she was doing the exact same thing as me, and we were both lying to each other.
And hiding it from each other.
And we had no idea.
You couldn't even see someone else doing it?
Huh?
You couldn't even see it on someone else?
Well, like I said, you feel normal when you have it. Like, you look normal. You don't even know half the time. There's signs for sure, but then obviously when I found out, I was like, this is really toxic. This is like as bad as it can get, basically.
Yeah, then you're going to enable each other.
Yeah, and then we totally did enable each other, and afterwards
Yeah, afterwards what?
Well, afterwards I was like, we can't continue doing this, so we broke up.
Because you knew it was going to be too much.
Well, knew, it was just like, one of us is going to die. Like,
because wait, let's say you want to do something every 4 hours. Is that a normal amount of time?
Yeah, or, okay. You know, every 20 minutes.
Oh, really? You got up that high?
Well, if you want to, you can do whatever you want. Well, you can pay for it.
Yeah. I could see if someone else is doing it around you, even if you're like, no, I don't want any yet. But you'd be like, well, if you're doing some, though, I'll do it too.
But yeah, definitely. But I have to say, in terms of sexual adventures,
yeah,
I've never had more crazier sexual adventures than while doing it.
Why? What do you mean?
One more case study, for instance. I'm coming back from a party with that girl, and it's like
the user.
The using uh-huh. yeah. And so like it's like, fuck, we're just like, I don't know, we're just like horny out of our minds, like we want to fuck. And it's like, I don't know, 7:30, maybe 8 in the morning, we're walking through East Vancouver, just like, what are we gonna do? Like, we just kind of like got this thing in our head. So we see like there's a school, and there's like, you know, like a jungle gym kind of thing, like a playground going on.
Yeah.
So I take her into the playground, like under the playground kind of thing, like we can stand up, and I start fucking her from behind.
In the playground?
In the playground.
Inside the jungle gym?
Kind of like underneath. Like there was like kind of like a plateau thing going on.
Yeah, it's Epcot Center, and you're inside of it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, pretty much. Okay. So start fucking her. Everything's fine and dandy. And then I look to my left, and there's about 15 small children and about seven teachers staring at us from outside the window.
Oh.
And they're just like, and then I see three teachers just run and start running at us, and it was just like, whoop, pants on, and we just started fucking
around.
I was just like, with any luck, those kids are completely traumatized from what they saw.
How old were they?
Must have been 5 or 6.
Oh, that's okay. They must have been like, what were they doing? I don't get it.
Well, probably just like wondering daytime? Why, wondering what. No, well, it was first thing in the morning. It was like maybe 7 or 8, like when kids get to school.
Yeah, you know? right. So you're like, I've been up all night.
I will never forget the looks on their faces, though.
The kids?
Yeah, I couldn't even explain. It wasn't more like jaw dropped. It was more like complete questioning.
Really?
Like, it's like, what the
fuck? What are they doing to each other?
What's going on, man?
Do you fuck with a condom or without a condom?
Oh, no, never. I never use one of those things.
Yeah.
No. Surprisingly, I'm clean.
You still never use one?
Still.
Or just then?
Till this day.
Oh, yeah.
I can't feel anything with those things, man.
Yeah, they're not great. They never address that issue. Whenever they put up billboards and saying, like, you know, condoms will stop 95% of disease, or condoms, you know, stop unwanted pregnancies, they're like, but you're not accounting for how bad they feel.
Exactly.
You're not giving us the whole story, so we don't believe your side of the story.
Yeah, you obviously know how bad they feel.
Yeah.
You make, like, the sensitive, feels like real skin ones, you know what I mean? It's just like, we're
they
trying
try.
To...
They try. They get a little better,
yeah,
a little
trying.
Better.
The way I see it, if I have to use a condom to fuck a girl, she's not worth fucking because she's not clean enough. If I have to, then no.
Then you're just like, it's
and
okay.
If she's not using birth control, then they can just leave.
Yeah, birth control's a tough one. If they're not, you're like, hey, are we cool? Like, you're not going to want to have a baby, right?
It's not do you want to have one. Is this going to happen if I stick this inside you?
Right. Oh, yeah. Oh, if they're not on birth control, you're just like, you're out. Forget
More or
it.
Less.
How old are you now?
21.
21. Wow, so you just got off.
Yeah.
You think you need to go back to it? You don't think so?
No, I couldn't.
How long have you been off it?
4 months.
How do you think now you won't be off it?
Well, I've got a lot of things going for me right now, basically, and I'm not getting into the whole relationship thing because that obviously seems to trigger wanting to use it when bad things happen and depression sets in or something like that. There are lots of things that trigger an addict,
yeah,
and stuff like that, and I've been able to recognize those. And yeah, I've been going.
Like if you get into a car accident or something, and you're like, oh, now I got to deal with this.
No, that's bollocks. I would say more like the girl cheating on me. That was a really fine example, or something like that. Or say like I lose my job,
something
and I run out of
traumatic.
Cash, and I can't pay my rent, or something like that, and I have to borrow money. Then that would be a trigger in itself, right there. But no, I just it's weird how my mindset's changed. Where it's like the only thing I could do is just use it. Or just think about using it. Now all I can think of when I think about it is how gross it was when I was using it, which is awesome.
Oh, that's good. So other times you quit, you didn't have that feeling?
Yeah. I only ever tried to quit that one other time after I had told that one girlfriend about what was going on.
What got you the last time, 4 months ago?
Last time it was just like, it was just, everything was too overwhelming. I was using too much. I was way, 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 way too far in debt. Couldn't hold down a job. Couldn't do anything. Lost lots of friendships and stuff.
Because then you couldn't work.
Yeah, I couldn't do anything. I was fucking useless.
You could do it for a while as a chef, and then it became like...
Yeah. Well, as long as you're making money, it's not really a big deal. But once you're not making money, it's just like scrounge, scramble, scramble. Like grab, whatever you can do, basically, just to get that little bit. Sad, but true.
Oh, wow. So you just get some.
Yeah.
Who would you get it from?
Dealers, and you know, as being, you know, being a junkie and stuff like that, with other junkies you tend to find other drug dealers and stuff like that. Like I would have it dropped off literally to the front door of that restaurant. I would call him,
really
grab money from the safe, and I would call him, and he'd literally pull up right in front, and I'd hop in, and I would sometimes do that 3 or 4 times a night. Like I would run out of the kitchen in the middle of service, run out into the front and grab shit
through the customers.
Huh?
Through the customers and grab some heroin and then come back in?
No, I just run out, grab it, come back, go upstairs to the bathroom, do it, come back down, be skippy as, you know.
And how would you do it? You wouldn't smoke it. You'd have to snort it, right?
No, I'd smoke it at work.
You would?
Yeah, in the bathroom.
You weren't afraid of people smelling it?
There's not much to smell, really. It doesn't have much of a necessary smell.
Oh, crack smells.
Crack smells like sulfur.
I thought it was supposed to smell like candy.
I think it smells like... That's gross. It smells like
sweet.
Farts, I think.
Farts? It has like a slight sweet smell to it. Maybe that's something else.
How much crack have you been smelling?
Maybe not a lot. I was in Winnipeg, down by the river
really
there. They have all these junkies there up on something. I don't know what it is, but it smelled really sweet. what they were smoking.
Could be meth as well. I don't know. Meth.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know much about that shit. I was never really into the uppers. It was just, well, Coke's not really. Well, it is an upper sometimes.
Yeah. Ian Edwards does a joke about meth. It's about Breaking Bad.
Meth's funny.
Yeah.
It's like, it's actually hilarious. Well, like, I live pretty close to Maine and Hastings, actually. I live in a really nice area.
Did you ever, like, lose your apartment?
I got so broke that I had to move out of a lot of apartments, so I couldn't really afford to live in many places, so I'd couch surf.
Oh, you just go with friends?
Yeah,
and friends. Then you steal from them?
No? No, I don't feel like that ever happened, actually.
That's good.
No, I'm humble enough that I wouldn't steal from people that I, you know? That, no, that would even let me live with them.
Like, do you think it could have gone that way?
Oh, if I had continued, like, there's so many ways it could have gone, dude. I could be on East Hastings right now, like, panning for change and shit like that.
And that's what, why do they all go there?
Because that's where all the drugs are.
Oh, so the drug dealers just tell them.
Seeing, being be an addict, you don't want to go too far to get your stuff because you want to grab it and come back and do it as fast as you can.
So then you just get an apartment right there.
Exactly. And that's why they have all those cheap, affordable housing down there, is basically for all those junkies that can't do anything.
For junkies. They have small little boxes as their apartments. Because, like, fuck it, junkie. You don't need anything.
They call it, what do they call it? Sustainable housing right now. So basically, actually, what's been happening in Vancouver is they've been buying up all the older, semi-old, rundown apartment buildings and stuff like that. And they've been basically turning it into affordable housing for junkies and homeless people and stuff like that. So they don't either have to pay anything, as far as I know, or the welfare pays it for them.
Whoa. And so they can be junkies, full-time junkies.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there's about 20 buildings down in the east side that are owned by BC that do that.
How many people do you think are down there?
Thousands.
Thousands.
Absolutely thousands. And, you know,
man, they're all right there.
Being all the drug addicts are slightly displaced, I don't know, over a 10-block radius. But that's, that's, yeah, there's so many just condensed into that one spot.
Well, God.
I'm just glad I didn't lose myself and have to go down that path. Like, I lost myself, but I still have a head on my shoulders. Obviously, yeah. We're having this conversation right now.
So you don't think, what happens if something bad would happen to you again? You don't think you would go back to it?
No, I don't. I've come this far, honestly, and I've actually been really successful in the last 4 months and done a lot of different things that have been really, really, really good for me, actually. So I'm just going to keep it going.
Do you do other drugs?
Sometimes. It's just more like kind of here and there. Smoke lots of pot.
Smoke a lot of pot?
Yeah, it's more like harm reduction with the pot thing, because it kind of chills me out, kind of makes me feel...
Pot's like a weird one, because everybody's like, well, I mean, you're still using it, but it's like, meh. It's sort of like a different type of thing. It's more
I wouldn't call it using. I wouldn't even call it
light
pot. Pot's not even a drug in my sense and case of point. But,
and so it doesn't lead you to do other?
No, definitely not. Yeah. If I smoke pot, I'm sitting down, eating, and going to sleep, basically. Yeah.
Yeah. Pot doesn't make me want to do any other drugs except occasionally have a few beers. Have a few drinks and get, like, double loopy.
Double loopy.
Yeah. It just makes me like the taste of beer more, too, I guess. So it's like, yeah.
Makes you thirsty.
I have a beer.
Makes you thirsty.
Oh, yeah. It gets so dry mouth.
Yeah, exactly.
A beer doesn't even, like...
Whereas alcohol dehydrates you anyway, which makes no sense.
Well, yeah. It just seems like it would taste good, but really you should have punch.
It's the government's little...
At that pot room in Toronto that I love so much, they sell, like, grape Welch's and, like, all the Fanta and orange sodas. They're
all the
so good.
And you're munching the fuck out.
Yeah, it's so good when you're that high.
Actually, there's a cool place that just opened up in Chinatown. It's an art gallery.
Yeah.
And it's, like, pretty cool art gallery, and you walk to the back, and then there's a dude sitting there in the back at a table, and he's got, like, really, 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 really good pot. Spot like that. Like,
oh, really?
It's like last time I went there was cotton candy, and it literally smelled like a carnival in the bag.
Wow.
And then you can go upstairs, and then there's like three pool tables and a ton of vaporizers and this huge, massive lounge. It's like a new
what's
one.
What's that place called? I just heard about that.
There's so many vapor lounges in downtown Vancouver.
Oh,
this
really?
This one just opened up, and the only way you could differentiate it is that it's in the middle of Chinatown, and there's an art gallery, and you wouldn't know otherwise until you go into the back.
Oh.
It's really cool, actually. And I like to play pool a lot, so I like to go there.
You get high and play pool?
Yeah.
I do, my friend Joe. We do that. We get
high
and play pool.
Get drunk and play pool, mostly. But
drunk fucks me up a little bit. High, I feel like I'm zoned in. Or maybe that's just the pot.
I was betting old guys the other night at the pool table, and like it seemed like I didn't even have money to bet, and I was still beating them. Like, if they had asked me to pay up, I would have been screwed. But I just beat them, so it wasn't so bad.
Yeah. Wow. I hope you don't go back to it again, if you don't want to.
No, I'm doing really well. I just got a head chef position at this place down in Kitsilano, and I'm redoing their menu and stuff like that, and just completely revamping this place.
You get to put your own stuff on there?
Oh, yeah. No, it's like this is the 10th menu I've created since I've been 17 or so like that.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And I also did a bartending competition earlier this summer. Well,
you know what you put on your menu? French fries. Everybody loves French fries.
I heard that.
Yeah.
Somewhere somebody told me that.
Yeah. Something to think about. You did a what conference?
I did a bartending competition, like a against all the best bartenders in Vancouver, basically.
Yeah.
We've all been doing it for 20 years, and I kicked their ass, and they came in second place, which was awesome.
Humble brag.
Yeah, humble brag.
I came in second place in this sweet Canadian-wide contest.
Just Vancouver-wide.
Oh.
If it was Canadian-wide, I would have won first.
Why? That doesn't make sense.
Against
that
the
guy
French.
Wouldn't have played.
I got to beat the French.
Oh, yeah. He would have tried harder. Fuck those French. Do you guys like those French, or do you care?
You mean here in Vancouver?
No, just like the whole Quebec stuff.
I can't stand it.
Do you? Yeah?
It bothers me. I guess maybe just like given the deficit that like most of the French-Canadian people I've met aren't that friendly, or they kind of annoy me. I don't know.
Kind of what?
They annoy the shit out of me.
Oh, they do?
I think I have one really, really good French-Canadian friend.
Yeah, they seem like they think they're better than you.
I don't know why. Because they can speak two languages and I don't care to speak the other one?
No, you would. If you could just instantly know French, you would do it.
If I could whip it out on a girl, that would be pretty different.
Yeah. Like if you'd have that skill, you would like it.
Fake it till you make it. That's what my mom taught me.
Just start going like, "Je suis
Consul." Like, oh my God, he's so attractive.
Yeah, you're going to get
someone French, knows he must be a good lover.
So none of you guys know French, only they do? I thought you have to take it.
No, we take it here. Like, I know basics of French, but I wouldn't say that I'm absolutely fluent and care. And that's in high school, right? Like,
you should take Inuit.
I'm so Inuit.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm Inuit, matey.
Do natives have a language besides Inuit?
Like clicks and shit? Like,
no.
I just mean
their own language.
Yeah, they do.
Okay, does anybody
learn that? I know quite a few native elders actually in town.
Really?
Yeah, native elders. And
they're pot smokers and junkies.
No, not junkies, actually. Well, most of them drunks, definitely drunks, sit back and drinking 2 liters of cider all day and stuff like that.
But they smoke them that peace pipe?
Oh, they smoke. What turns the red man red? That's from, you know what that's from?
Smoke them.
Peter Pan.
Smoke them the peace pipe.
Yeah.
What
it's from Peter Pan, dude, like the original Disney
really?
One. Yeah. And smoke then there's like
that must
there's
be
like,
from something though that Indian was like
smoke 'em peace pipe.
Yeah.
And but there's like the most racist thing ever in that movie. I just realized it's like what turns the red man red is when they smoke 'em to peace pipe.
Really?
Yeah.
Have you ever seen Dumbo?
Yeah.
You want to see a racist scene? Those two crows on the branch talking. They're just like, "What I say? That sure was some good." These are like the whoa. These are the blackest black people. I've ever seen.
And they're portraying them as dirty little sky
you
rats.
Were little, you were young. They're so clearly, like, black.
Well, but Dumbo was made in, like, the 50s.
Oh, yeah. It was so totally, like trying to be racist.
Integration had barely even happened.
Yeah.
It hadn't even happened until the 60s, so.
Well, that sure was some good elephanting. I think they said that.
And you know what? Honestly, like, down in New Orleans, like, when I was there, like, it's exactly like that.
What?
Oh, they talk like that. Like, dang on here, boy, how you doing today?
Oh, yeah, that Creole.
But then they're all quite French, too, actually, too, which makes
yeah, that's a weird kind of French.
It's like the closest to Europe the States will ever get, basically.
New Orleans?
Yeah.
That part of town?
Yeah.
I don't think that's true.
Bourbon country.
Yeah, maybe you're right. Nothing else is, like, European. We have, like, yeah, no. We have Chinatowns. That's not it. There's no Europe town. There's no England towns.
Could you imagine, though, England town? It'd
Little
be like
France.
Fish and chips pub.
Yeah.
Fish and chips sex store.
Yeah, what else they have? I'm sure they have everything there, but what do they have like 100 years ago? They didn't have Mexican food back then. Right?
I don't even think Mexicans had food 100 years ago.
I didn't think they're coming. Have any Mexicans tried to escape all the way to Canada?
I know a few of them, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
They're like, fuck it. They're still going to get me. But they're like illegal illegal Americans and they have illegal. I'm talking about illegal ones. So they have those here.
Oh, actually, I know one. Get this. His name's Salvador.
Yeah.
He's El Salvadorian.
Yeah.
And nice. I worked with him at a restaurant called the Cannibal Cafe on Commercial Drive. And it turns out last time I went into Cannibal Cafe, they're like, "Oh, man, did you hear about Salvador?" And I'm like, "What?" He's just like, "Well, apparently he did not have his green card this entire time." And I go, "Oh, yeah." And he is now on a Canada-wide hunt for this kid.
Really?
Because he flooded his apartment, which in turn flooded the entire apartment building.
What do you mean he flooded the apartment?
Like, he flooded the apartment somehow. I don't know what he did. This is really weird. Like, he flooded it, and then he tried to set it on fire. And now there's, like, a Canada-wide search for him because there's, like, $3 million in damage that he did to this apartment building.
Oh, and that's when they found out he wasn't a...
Yeah.
Oh. Why would he flood it?
I don't know.
Just for fucking around? Let's see if I can flood it?
He's a Salvadorian kid. I have no idea.
Would he just run the bath and stop everything up and just...
Like, honestly, I couldn't tell you. I would really like to know the details on this subject because I want to... The kid was nice. Like, he was
really... And then he tried to burn it. Got to burn it first, then flood it. Unless he was trying to get the flood to put out the fire once
it caught. Distract the flood with the fire.
Distract the flood?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
Well, no, they're going to be going for the fire instead of the flood. They don't even know what's
going
on.
And then all of a sudden the fireman opened the door and like, backdraft? No, flood. He never suspected that.
It's like that scene in The Mummy with water coming down the tunnel.
Uh-huh. Or The Shining. The elevator opens up. All the blood comes out. Yeah, should have put a bunch of food coloring in there, too.
When I was a kid, my mom would not let me watch The Shining for that scene.
Really?
It didn't make any sense. And then I watched it, and I was like, Mom, you're fucked. Like,
it was such a non-horror movie
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't scary. It was just sort of normal, but like...
Psychological thriller.
Yeah, it was weird. Some fucking movie about Indians.
Red Ram.
Wow, I'm trying to think if there's anything else I want to ask you. If you don't think you're going to get back to it, that's good. You didn't go to AA, really?
No, I did sometimes, and even occasionally now I will. Like, not when I get cravings or anything like that.
But why do you go there? Just to check
in? It just kind of centers you. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. You get to hear stories from other people and stuff like that. Like, you know, honestly, there's certain ones, like the 12-step programs.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about that for a second. The 12-step program basically incites that you have to find some sort of higher power.
Yeah.
And that's the only thing. That's the only way you're going to be able to get clean is if you find some sort of higher power that can govern you other than yourself.
Yeah.
And I don't do the whole God thing. It doesn't really work.
Yeah, but you could pick anything, right?
Pick anything, but what they literally incite and they do say most of the time is God.
Really?
Higher power is what it says in the book. God is what comes out of their
mouth. I heard some people say it could be anything like the ocean where it's like so powerful and never ceasing that you could put that as like, I can never control something like that. So that could be it. But somebody said like it could even be like a doorknob if you want. But then I did this show. Mick Betancourt has a show where he tries to raise money for this AA place.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's called somewhere in the valley. I forget what it's called. But I was talking to them about that, about the higher power and God and stuff. And some girl was like, yeah, it can totally be a doorknob. I was like, but no one's ever actually used a doorknob as your higher power. No one's fucking done that.
No one
so
prays
stop saying
to a doorknob.
It. Yeah.
But yeah, but that's when it starts to get really emotional, like some of those meetings and stuff like that, when you see like the 40, 50, even 60-year-old drug addicts and stuff like that, when they're like trying to get through a story or something like that, and they just start bawling their eyes out.
Really?
Yeah, like just hard, big.
From sharing?
From sharing. Big, grown-ass, bearded, strong guys just bawling their eyes out about something that they did or thought about doing.
Like what? Like really horrible things?
To me, it didn't even sound that horrible. I was like, I felt like I even did worse things than some of those guys that we're talking about.
Were they just ashamed of it?
I guess so, yeah. But like, it just made me feel really uncomfortable. Like, the anxiety in those rooms just makes you just like, it's just too heavy, man.
Sometimes it's just emotion. I remember telling some friend that he was like a really good friend of mine, and like telling him that like in earnest and getting choked up.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what the fuck am I doing?
Yeah, well, just that's fine. And Danny just saying like, you know what, man, you're awesome. Like, that's okay. But like, when you get really deep into it,
yeah,
and it's just like, but when you're in a room full of 40 people, that's what I'm saying, that's where it gets uncomfortable. It's like, not let alone do I want to share with these 40 other people in the room,
yeah,
nor do I want to cry on their shoulders personally. I think I'm a bit stronger than that, thank you.
Yeah I went to an Al-Anon meetings a few times. They were pretty fun.
That's what I hear they actually have more fun at those ones than
they really
any of the other ones, basically.
Yeah,
because it's all just drunk stories, really.
It's also usually stories about their friends, too, that have done it.
When I was in, I did go to a detox for about 10 days or so. I didn't go to rehab. A detox is basically like you put yourself in a house with a few other people, and you basically lock yourself in this house.
Yeah.
And that's, and you just eat as much as you possibly can. You watch movies. You play video games. It's kind of like nice, actually, when you get down to it. Yeah. And it was all free. They give you 10 cigarettes a day. It's pretty, yeah, which is was awesome at the time, because if I didn't have cigarettes when I was doing that, I would have probably...
10 cigarettes a day, you knew that's all you were getting? Did you get them all at once?
No, they give you 5 in the morning and 5 at night.
That's good.
That was okay. And they were like the shitty like rolled ones that they do with like the things, you know? You get the tube. You get like the cigarette tube.
And you put your paper in there. Oh, really?
Yeah.
It just rolls it up.
So obviously there was somebody sitting there at 6 in the morning rolling cigarettes for all these junkies. Oh,
that's a sucky job. That's a really sucky job.
There was all sorts of people in that detox place. Like there was like this one First Nations guy. He was the only one there when I got there.
What's First Nations? Natives?
Like Native.
Okay.
Yeah.
First Nations.
Yeah.
Native, oh, they were the First
Native
Nations.
Native dude. And he was just like, he's like, why are you here? And so I told him what was up. He's like, yeah. He's like, I just can't drink without getting arrested.
All the way.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, doesn't matter how much I drink. Doesn't matter what happens. I always get arrested when I drink.
Wow.
Because violent things happen, or he beats somebody up, or someone beats him up, or something like that. So court orders, he had to go to detox and stay there. And I was sharing a room with this guy, and he was fat, and he snored like a motherfucker. it just like that ruined my first 2 days there. And then he was gone after that, and just out of complete ironic factors, I come out of the shower, I'm going cold turkey, I'm feeling like a piece of shit, and I come out of the shower and I open up the door, and there's one of my best friends, Nick, standing there right in front of me in the detox place. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing here? And he's like, what are you doing here? And we, once again, both
didn't know.
Had no idea.
Wow. You drive a lot on heroin?
I don't drive.
Oh, you don't drive?
I'm terrified of driving.
I'm terrified of you driving. Oh, that's good. Did a lot of people? People
sure
do regular stuff, right? Were they functioning heroin?
Yeah, that's junkies? What they call them, functioning junkies. And there's, I don't know, thousands of them.
That's what I am, as pot, functioning pothead.
Mm-hmm.
Except not always, as witnessed by my lack of focus and questions.
That's okay, though. That's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not stealing money from anybody.
Hey, I resent that completely.
I'm saying, like, it's not the worst thing in the world. So do you have to hear these horrible stories? They start crying. Well, would you start crying along with them?
No, I never did. Actually, it would make me so uncomfortable that most of the time I would leave. Because,
oh.
Like, in the detox place, they would take us to go to these meetings and stuff like that. Like, yeah. If you wanted to go, it was optional. If you needed anything, they would take you out on drives.
Was that the only time you could get out?
Yeah, basically. Like, air was important at that point.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, no, like they would take us to these meetings and like I'd feel so uncomfortable. Like I just did not feel like I needed to be at the really intense ones. You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
There's ones called smart meetings that you can go to, and it's basically what you can do with your time instead of using and stuff like that, which I found very useful, actually. Like anything that it was basically just time management and scheduling.
Okay. How to like live a life once you're out
of
here.
How to live a life, like how to basically occupy your time instead of like, oh, I have this free amount of space and this free amount of money. What am I going to do here?
Oh, so they educate you on how to live your life without having to do it.
Exactly.
Oh, that's pretty smart.
Hence, smart meetings.
In America, they do it opposite. They put you in detox, don't tell you a word, just block you in. And then when you leave, they're like, here's 2 days worth of heroin, try not to do it. And they fucking let you go. And make it really difficult for these guys to get clean that way.
Actually, in terms of tests of willpower, I was over at a buddy's house not too long ago, and I guess one of his friends was staying with him. And friends whose house I was with, we both used to use together, and we're both clean now. We've both been clean like the same amount of time. Because like once I got out of it, a lot of people tend to, like, they went clean.
Really?
It was weird, yeah. Like
you were their enabler?
Kind of, yeah, which is ironic as well. But yeah, his friend was there, and I guess he had like a fucking kilo of heroin, his friend.
Really?
And there's me and my buddy.
How much is a kilo? Like the size of this recorder?
Bigger, probably like a bit bigger than a brick like this.
Oh, whoa. Like, how long did that last you? A month?
Maybe 2 years.
Oh, really? Okay.
That's a lot of drugs, man.
Oh, okay.
That's like more than anybody should ever have.
Wow.
And like it was to the point where I could literally smell it coming out of the room, out of the
not
back.
Even on anything.
Not even no,
not
no,
lit
no.
up.
No, nothing. And I was just like, holy shit, man. And like, and this guy had the face, like the audacity, more or less, to bring this huge brick of shit out and put it in my face and like go like this to me and waft it around my face. And I'm
he
like,
knew you were trying to clean up?
He knew I was clean. I'd already been clean for three months or so. And I was like, dude, I was like, get the fuck out of my face right now before I take that and beat you with it. Like, I was like, I will throw it off the balcony. I don't care. Just
that'd
get
be
it
the
away
best
from
way
me.
For a junkie to get beat up.
Oh, yeah.
To get hit by your own heroin.
And just explode in your face.
Yeah. If that happened, would you get super fucking ripped?
guaranteed. If you inhaled any of that, oh, you'd be you'd die.
Really?
You'd fucking OD.
How do you decide the line on how much to take it, not to OD, but also to get fucked up? Because you want to keep going. You want to get highly fucked up, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Because on weed, you just smoke more. If you're snorting
it, it's more just, it's a gradual thing. And when you're smoking, it's a gradual thing. When you're banging it,
what do you mean it's a gradual thing? It's gradual. You get higher as
like
it goes.
Like you do smaller amounts, and you get higher and higher and higher kind of thing. You
keep
like
upping.
Yeah.
And then can you overdose that way?
Well, that's why you kind of go small amounts at a time, so you don't quite overdose. But if I went and did like a big Hollywood line of down, I'd die. Anybody would die. You'd fucking die. Like you.
Is that why Uma Thurman died? Because she thought it was coke,
but and
it was
she did that big fat rail and she fucking.
And it was heroin. She's like, oh no.
Because it was all pure and white. Because China white is the purest of the pure of the.
And how much does that cost? More.
Guaranteed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how weed is too.
But like, yeah, like stores. It got bad, man. Like I would like sometimes like when I couldn't, like even when I couldn't call that dude that would come up to the front of the restaurant, I would like say to my coworker, I'd be like, hold on, I'll be back in 15 minutes. And cause it was right down in Gastown, like right close to Main and Hastings, dude. I'd take my money, fucking run out the back door, run down to fucking Junkie Central where all the fucking flailers are and stuff. And I'd just be like, yo, like it's the first person that offered it to me. And like sometimes the stuff would look like, fucking I
just brown
just like you know the bottom of a bag of salt and vinegar chips, you get like those little like chunks of like the ends of the chips. It's like brown and covered in lots of salt and it just looks like kind of gnarly. It would look like that.
But you were like, fuck it,
I don't have time to argue, I don't have time to do this. I just grab it and run back and do that. But the funniest time I ever did that, I could not find any, and I was out for like 15 minutes. I was like, fuck. I'm supposed to be running a kitchen right now. What am I doing with my life?
Yeah.
Like, let's make some life decisions here, Jesse. And the only person that could help me, and this is the best thing ever, was a midget. There was a midget prostitute, and she was standing at the corner near Main and Hastings, and she had two black eyes. And she goes, down?
Two black?
A midget prostitute with two black eyes.
Okay.
Not just one.
Each eye was black or
each
something.
Each eye was beat. Like, she got knocked out twice.
Big wow.
Purple bags.
Somebody beat up a midget prostitute more than once?
Yeah. You hit her not once, but twice. Wow. Like, come on, buddy. Whoever you are.
Golly.
Anyway, she goes, down? And I'm like, yes.
Down? She just said down?
Yeah. And I was like, yeah. And so I follow this midget black-eyed prostitute to a scary alley.
Is it a dude prostitute?
No, it was a chick.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. She was maybe like 3 feet tall.
She was white, though?
Yeah, she was white.
Oh, okay.
Curly, blonde hair, black bags.
So you followed her. Were you all like, can you hurry up the pace, a little midget? I got to get back to work.
Honestly, yeah, that's what I was thinking in my mind. I was just like, one of my steps was three of hers. Like, so, and so we, I guess we kind of hobbled, teetered into an alley.
Yeah.
You know what penguins do? What do they do? Waddle. Yeah, they waddle. She waddled a little bit.
And then what did you do there?
Oh, she just caught me some drugs really, really fast. And then I ran like the wind back to my job and fucking did it and continued.
Did you ever think about fucking her?
To this day, now that you mention it, yes.
Did you? You have thought about it, right?
Just like if I could tell you the story right now, like I fucked that midget prostitute.
Yeah, that'd be way better.
Like, I'm sorry.
I was afraid that's where it was going to go.
I can't tell you that story because
I cannot tell you that.
But,
were you ever afraid of violence? Did a bunch of people try to take your money and beat you up?
Yeah, a couple times, at least down there, I got ripped off a few times. Like, and that's when, that would be like literally the last resort was going into the ghetto and trying to pick that shit up.
Because they would do that shit all the time.
Yeah, I'd rather have like the guy that I was, you know, at least reliable, that it was consistent.
And he wanted your repeat business so he wouldn't try to fuck you over.
Exactly. Or if I ever needed it that bad, or if I was crying for it on the phone, like he'd just bring it to me and I could pay him later kind of
thing. Where would the dealer get it?
From some other dealer, basically.
Who paid less for it.
Pays less for it, probably cuts it with whatever they cut it with. I think they cut it with caffeine, actually, which makes it ironic because when you're smoking it or doing it, it keeps you up. So that you might want to buy more.
Oh.
And then it keeps you high so that you're actually satisfied. So
ingenious.
Ingeniously evil.
So people, would it be one of those things where it's like, give me the money, now go get the bag from that guy?
Yeah, that's when you know you're probably going to get ripped off or something like
and
that.
And you just go through with it anyway.
Some of the guys down in the ghetto over there, they actually have bags that, like, say, like a white powder that looks like it, or a slightly brown powder that looks like it, where it might end up being chalk or something else, and they just give it to you. Like, they have a special pocket for the stuff that they try to rip people off for, and then they'll give you that, and then like you'll walk away, check it out, and be like, fuck.
And what do you do, go back?
What are you gonna do, get stabbed?
That's what he's going to do.
Well, I don't know if he's going to stab you. He might freak out. He might do anything. You don't know what's going to happen. These are fucking crazy. They're junkies. They don't know. They don't care. It's like they have your money and you have whatever they gave you, and that's all they care about.
Dealers are junkies too.
Guaranteed.
Okay.
Yeah. Most of the time. I don't think I've ever seen a dealer that isn't a junkie, except for the people that drive around and deliver. Uh-huh. Those people usually don't use. They probably just smoke weed most of the time.
Just to keep their shit together.
Yeah.
And they don't just like a normal pothead doesn't judge anybody else. It's like, yeah. Hey, whatever you
especially
want to do,
when you're making thousands of dollars a day off people's horrible habits. There's a certain level of morale.
Yeah.
That's not very high, but it's there.
Yeah. Man. Yeah, I'd be scared of them, like, robbing me.
Yeah, no.
I've just been like, why don't I just take all your money and give you nothing?
I've been robbed at knife point at 4 times in the city.
Really?
Yeah. For very, very small sums of money. Not even when I was picking up drugs one time.
Just robbed?
Yeah, full on.
Do you ever think of resisting them? Saying, no, let's see what you're made of.
There's not much you can say with a big hunting knife to your throat, actually. And all they want is your $20. So it's like, just fucking take it.
Yeah.
There's not much you can do about that.
You're like, okay.
Yeah. It's just I don't want to die.
Did you ever want to die when you're doing heroin?
It definitely gets you into such an evil little depressed dark rut.
Yeah.
That you sometimes feel that it would be better to just not be here, but it wasn't like a thing where I was like suicidal or anything like that. It was just like it's like I could keep doing this or I can stop. I'm just going to keep doing it because it's easier to keep doing it and feeling this way instead of trying to stop, which is like climbing Mount Everest with no shoes on.
Yeah, yeah. It would just feel like heaven?
Yeah. You can't compare it to anything.
And it still felt that way even at the end?
No, at the end it was pure sickness, pure self-loathing.
And just normalizing you.
And just normalizing, yeah.
So how long did it take before you lost that like sweet, awesome feeling?
Like whilst you're doing it?
Yeah.
20 minutes to an hour, depending on how much you use.
But it kept hitting you at least every time.
Oh, no, yeah. It would hit you, but like...
Wouldn't
last
as long.
I'd be doing it, say, first thing in the morning or something like that. Like, I would wake up. Like, I did before I brushed my fucking teeth would be do a fucking blast of this shit.
Wow.
And then even if I could remember to brush my teeth at the time afterwards.
Probably best to brush teeth
first.
I've
got things to do. Or sometimes I just do it when I woke up.
I've got a long day of heroining today.
Yeah. And some work somewhere in between. Yeah, it is. Like, it's like a full-time job. Once you get down to it, it's just like you wake up. And that's what you need to do. That is your priority. And that's what scares you the most is because you don't have any other priorities or responsibilities other than that habit, which really starts to mess with your mind. Some people, it messes with their mind so hard that they just forget that they're regular people. And that's why you see all those people down at Maine and Hastings and they're just totally fucked, right? Like, there's nothing you can do for those people.
They're too deep into it.
Yeah, they're too deep. They're too far gone. But like, I feel like at least I still have a head on my shoulders and I can do stuff about it. I did stuff about it.
And did you have times where you wanted to quit but just couldn't? But like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to. And you just keep shooting up the whole time. We're not shooting up, but smoking.
Yeah, but like, yeah, definitely. It was like that all the time. Like, by the end of it, like, at first, like I said, it was so gradual you don't even notice. But by the end of it, it's just like, this is all I have going on for me right now. And it's absolutely nothing. Like, it's nothing. There's nothing. It doesn't do anything for you.
Yeah.
It does nothing. That feeling, sure, it's amazing. But even the most amazing feeling isn't worth your entire life.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, because it's all your entire life. That was all you were doing.
Yeah, it dissolves you. It breaks you down. It dissolves you. It basically does what you do to it when you smoke, inject, or snort. It cooks you down. It takes you in, and it fucking...
Could you listen to other people, like conversation and stuff, while you were on it?
Yeah, dude.
And you could be interested in what they were saying?
Oh, it's totally coherent most of the time.
But like cokeheads, I've heard that when they get real coked up, they like to... Like, as soon as you're talking, I'll listen for, like, 3 seconds, and I'll think of something to say, and then I think whatever I have to say is so fucking awesome that I can't wait till you're done fucking talking.
And then as soon as you're done.
So I can say my thing. And then they listen for, like, 2 seconds, and then, like, they get their idea, and they can't wait for you to be done. So no one's ever listening to each other, just, like, waiting to talk.
Oh yeah, I've done plenty of the cocaine. I know exactly what that's like. I've seen tons of those people.
They're the worst.
Over and over and over and over again.
There's nobody worse.
You know what's funny? I like to say, like, because this is a podcast, correct?
Yeah.
Is that YouTube ruined cocaine?
Why?
Oh, because every time you see a you know, house full of people doing drugs or doing coke, drinking, partying, and stuff like that, YouTube goes on. And then YouTube goes on, what, a song's 3 to 5, 6 minutes, you know?
Yeah.
You make it through 30 seconds, and everyone's fighting for the mouse, trying to put on whatever song that they want.
That they think their song is the best.
They think it's the best. Or it'll be one person at the computer, and it'll go for half the amount of song, and then they'll change to the complete opposite thing, and it just continues from there, and it like basically becomes...
They get annoyed at their own idea after a while.
Exactly. It becomes a fight for YouTube, a fight for supremacy of the...
Oh, that's funny.
...of the space. It makes me laugh, actually.
All right. Well, do you want to promote anything or anything?
Promote anything?
I don't know. This is when comics do it. They like to say their dates and stuff.
Don't do drugs.
All right. Yeah, sure. That's a good one.
Yeah. Stay clean. Promote anything? No, I'm okay.
What if people are not going to stay clean, but then...
Well, I'd say take under the consideration that you have a choice, or at least some of you do, as long as you're not flailing around absolutely demented.
Yeah.
I'd say that you have something that you can do about it, and I would suggest going the cleaner direct route.
Can you do heroin moderately? Think
no.
That's possible?
There's no moderation.
You don't think so?
It is it. That's all you do.
Not like nobody does like every 5 days.
No. And the people that do that probably do every other drug under the sun as well to keep them going otherwise.
Yeah.
Like, I know people or known people after they've died. I've known a lot of people that have died. that, like, they shoot coke, and to come down, they shoot heroin. Like, so they'll shoot coke, and that's the thing that they do. But after that, like, they shoot down to come down, and then it just goes on from there, basically.
Whoa.
It's fucking heavy.
Do you drink at all?
Do I?
Yeah.
I drink like a fish.
Yeah, that doesn't trigger it either. That's okay.
Well, it would trigger other things regularly, but I try to get myself home or smoke some pot before I can,
you start doing lines of coke?
Exactly.
Wow. Man. I'm always weird about a few people. Amanda Agius, comics, all these people that clean up like when they're like still real young, you know, already been through the fucking bottom, and they come out of it still like, no, I still got my whole life ahead of me. Must be so much, I don't know if worse or better, but like when you're 65 and just getting clean, then it's like, fuck, I ruined all of it.
Yeah, and they spend 40 years doing it. Yeah. Like I spent what? A year and a half total doing it, which is obviously still too long when you think about it, but like when you see these people doing it for 20, 30, 40 years and stuff like that, it's like, how do they manage?
Yeah.
Like, I could barely do it for the year and a half without going absolutely insane. But, like, these people just continue and continue and continue.
Yeah. All right. I would always want to do it, but I only want to do it, like, 3 times. I want to do heroin 3 times.
That's,
I want to do it once.
That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard of.
Well, hold on. That's more stupid than 4 times? first
once
time
is enough.
The first time would be to do it. Be like, whoa, okay, I know what that feels like. And then whenever you do a drug a second time, like mushrooms or anything like that, it's like once you know what it's going to be, then you're like, okay, I don't have to be as scared of this.
It loses excitement.
Yeah, it's not completely unknown. So you're not like frightened or like, well, what's going to happen next? You know what's going to happen next. So it's like, okay. So then you do it the second time.
Then you can kind of expect what's going to happen. And then the third time.
Third time is just like, okay, cool. One last time. Let's just...
That's when you become the addict right
there. Yeah.
That's when it happens.
That's why I just write that in ahead of time, because I'm not going to stop at 2. I'm going to be like, that was really good.
I hope
good.
If you ever follow through with this ridiculous dream of using heroin, I hope that you do it the first time, puke your guts out, and feel like a piece of shit, because you'll still feel stupid by the end of the third time.
I heard that at Trainspotting. We did some paper on it, me and KK Jason in college, and that was the experience. A lot of people said the first time was really bad, and then from then on was really great.
But it's like if the first time was really bad, what makes you want to go back and do it
the second
time? I
don't know. I never got that.
Doesn't make sense.
Yeah, that's what my question was. Like, if it was so sucking, just barfing and not getting, like, fucked up, then, like, why would you try again?
So high, you're puking, and you can't... It's just... That's it, man. Like, you're just fucked for the day.
Be a nice way to spend a Sunday.
After church.
Yeah, after church. Right after church.
Or even before church. It might even make it a little bit more, like, you know... Awesome.
You're like, this is the best sermon I've ever heard in my life.
I just want to go up to that priest and take
Would you watch like Family Guy and stuff? Would that make it better? Would it make that stuff better? Or would you wouldn't even?
What do you mean?
Like when you smoke pot, it makes like Family Guy like more like hilarious. Better. Yeah. Is it funnier than it is?
I did spend a lot of time just watching movies and doing nothing on it, if that's really what you're saying. Like, like anything but to socialize with the outside world to know what you're doing.
Wow. Normally, you're pretty extroverted.
Extremely extroverted. I'm very, very, very well connected in the city. And pretty much everybody knows about what my situation was. Because I've come clean. And that's the hardest thing to do is really be
tell people.
Tell people what's going on. When I told my mom.
Yeah, did your parents take it?
Oh, that was fucking hard.
What'd she say? No dessert for you?
She flipped her lid, dude.
Really?
She flipped her lid.
This is while you're still doing it or once you got clean?
Well, how I got clean. Well, like basically like last four, almost 5 months now. I had had enough. Like, I just couldn't continue on with, like, you know, the lying, the stealing, the cheating, the not fucking caring about fuck all else but my problem.
Yeah.
That's all that I could do. Good call. But, like, yeah, that's really what it came down to. It was, like, I need help. And so...
So you got help from your parents?
Yeah. Well, at least, the best thing to do is at least tell somebody... like your parents or something like that, or somebody that's with you more often than not. Like, I'm 21. It's not like...
Because they're not going to leave you.
Yeah. And I've been out of the house for the last 4 years or so. Like, I've been on my own for the last 4 years. Thank you. And, to go and ask my mom and tell her that, like, this is what I've been doing.
Yeah.
Like, she always used to ask me when I was younger and stuff.
If what?
If I was doing tons of drugs like that. Like, my mom, like... has done acid, like lots of acid.
Really?
Lots of mushrooms. I've done mushrooms with my mom. Like, she's a cool chick. Like, my mom's badass.
That's so weird now, because I think of moms as like these really conservative things. But then I realize now, it's like, you're 21. How old is your mom? Like 45?
48 today. It's 48 her birthday today, as a matter of fact. We're doing
she's like not that much older than a bunch of people I know who do fucking lots of drugs.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's like, she would have done it 10 years ago.
Yeah, but all those people that you know that are not too much older than you or whatnot... they never knew when the party stopped. Whereas my mom knew when the party stopped, exactly. And she's an A-plus graduate of UBC in psychology, and she's won like $15,000 bursaries and stuff like that. She's
UBC? Wait, I know it. University of British Columbia.
Yeah, don't try.
Bam!
Booyah.
What's their mascot? The moose? No.
No idea.
The devil moose?
A big needle.
Maybe a big needle. Do you ever share needles?
No.
You always got your own?
Yeah.
But it must have been hard if you didn't have a needle. Like,
well it's not
yours.
Too hard when you can go down towards Main and Hastings there, and really
out, right?
dirty, guttery, cracky alley behind the Carnegie Library, which is right on the corner of Main and Hastings, there is a needle exchange place, and you basically just knock on this window, and this guy comes and he asks, what do you want? And he'll give you as many syringes, as many spoons, as many whatever you want.
Really?
Basically, yeah. And there's a pretty good needle exchange.
Wait, what do you exchange for it?
You don't exchange nothing.
A pleasant handshake?
Yeah, exactly. Thanks. And then you run away.
So why do they give them to you? Because they figure they're going to use clean, it. Disease clean, will be way worse.
Clean injecting, basically. Like, you don't want to reuse needles. Because
that's so smart. Because
well,
what?
Yeah. There's actually a really, really...
Is any disease you have would treat you?
Exactly, yeah. Or if you wanted to share with somebody else, there's Hep C, there's AIDS, obviously, and there's all sorts of things, actually. Like, my friend has Hep C now, like the one I told you that went to the hospital.
Because of that. Wow.
Which I feel like really fucking bad for him too, because he's a really awesome dude and he tries really hard. He's just like can't fucking escape some of that shit.
Well, yeah, it stuck with him. He got unlucky.
He went down a different path though. He got cocaine psychosis from literally shooting up too much coke, and he started literally seeing demons and hearing voices in his head, and like he had to go to the psych ward just right around.
My next door neighbor had that.
Just right
what
there. You know the hospital right there. He went to that one.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's crazy.
He's there
out
for
there.
A month.
You walk by there late at night and you're like,
what the hell's going on?
Yeah. He had to go there for a month?
He was there for a month.
My next door neighbor started seeing red people everywhere.
Yeah, he would see demons and he thought people were trying to kill him and stuff like that. Like, over the top, abnormal paranoia.
Yeah.
Like, to the point where it's like, really? It's like, did you have to do that much?
He wanted, oh man. He just got unlucky. His drug had that end result. I just get stupider.
Some fucking good drugs. I don't know. Like,
It's all right. Whatever. Well, it's a good lesson. I have more. What was I going to say? About your friend. Oh, the needle exchange.
Yes.
Because it's sort of stupid to think this is what America does, is they just assume, they just like, they say it's illegal, so it's like we're going to just say that it's not happening.
Yeah.
And not deal with any of the consequences of it happening. Instead of here, they just go like, look, it's gonna, we're making it illegal, but it's still going to happen. So let's try to figure it out.
Well, the demographic of what's going on in Vancouver, actually, because there's so much drug use, especially on the downtown east side, like it's a known fact. And basically what they're doing, it's like it's kind of harm reduction that way. Like they have vans that go around, they give people food down there, which is awesome, yeah. And there's also vans that go up and pick up needles from people, or they do the, like they have needle deposit box in the downtown east side. So
aren't they scared of picking up needles?
The people that they work, that's what they do.
They pick up needles for a living.
Yeah, but they don't, like, people will sometimes pick them up with their hands or if not. But the, it seems like the junkies are pretty good about throwing them in these deposit boxes. Like, because they don't want to see needles everywhere just because like, they don't want to get sick. Because that's what the harm reduction is there for. Is like, put these needles away so that you don't spread disease.
So they have boxes for them.
Yeah, all over the place. And there's also, it's called Insight. It's just down from Main and Hastings. It's a safe injection site. It's been a really controversial thing.
You can shoot up there in peace?
You can shoot up there in the presence of a nurse. So, like, a nurse watches you while you shoot up. And, and they make sure that you don't OD and die. But
did you ever go there?
No, I never went there.
Wow. And they make sure you're okay. And then do they try to talk you out of it or anything?
No. It's like you go there for that reason. That's what it's there for.
I heard this this guy on, like, Fox News or MSNBC in America, and he was talking to... both of them. He was talking to Fox News. His theory is that all drugs should be legalized. And it's one of the guys, like who's that guy who always interrupts everybody?
Oh.
Yeah, one of those old guys with white hair. But he goes, so you want to share your streets with, you're okay sharing the streets with fucking heroin addicts? And he's like, dude, I live in New York City. I do. Like, why are you pretending it's not happening? It's because we made it illegal. Let's deal with the problem.
It's true.
Still happening either way.
That's actually what Scarface was about, man. Like, they were going to, in the 80s, they were going to legalize and regulate cocaine, actually.
Wow.
That's what they're going to, just because the problem was so rampant. It was the 80s, right? Like, everybody was doing coke. 70s and 80s, like Club 54 and stuff like that, man. Like, it was just, it was just easier that way for the government. But obviously, the states have never been able to actually get into that ever. But not like, I don't even know if I think it would be a good idea, actually. I wouldn't really want to see people that I, you know, love and respect going out and doing things just because it's okay to do.
Well, that's the fear, is that it becomes super okay. But then it's like, we let people with alcohol regulate themselves, and some people fall prey to it.
Yeah, but they spent the last... I don't know what, 50 or 60 years telling people to fear drugs. Yeah. And then all of a sudden they try to say, oh, you know what? We're going to backtrack and say it's okay. Now you guys can do
it. I wonder
how
they would do that. How they could legalize it and change everybody's thinking.
Without looking like complete morons.
But it's like people 50 years ago that are the morons. They're all
dead.
Exactly.
It's not them now, but it's the laws that they still have to, you know, deal with.
They did train dogs in Washington State to no longer smell for marijuana.
Can they do that?
Because they made it illegal. They made it legal, I mean, to smoke marijuana.
In Washington
State. So they
have
to retrain the dogs to smoke for everything except that.
That's the states probably just put the dog down.
Maybe start new ones. that's so sad.
Okay, have puppies, then we're going to kill you and make them smarter.
This dog holocaust. It's all getting wiped out into open graves.
That happened here recently up in Whistler.
A dog holocaust?
The guy killed 50 sled dogs up in Whistler.
Whoa!
He, like, slit their throats and buried them.
Why?
Because, I don't know, because I can't remember, like... It was just
over a long period of time, or just
one day,
killed 50 sled dogs with a knife.
Yeah.
Oh, you think
check it out? Look it up. It's pretty messed up, dude. It was up in Whistler, I think.
In Whistler, who was he? Was he crazy?
He was a guy that like worked for a sled dog company or something like that, and I think he had some sort of reasoning or justification for this. No idea.
Ate off the table again or something. Oh,
but like the whole team of them. Let alone that. Sorry, that's kind of
look
dark
up.
And messed up. But you should look check it up.
Sled dog massacre in Whistler.
PETA was all over the shit.
Oh, I'm sure they were probably against it, right? Do you think the dogs at the end could sense something was coming bad?
If I was even the first, second, or third dog, I'd be running from this guy.
You'd get out of there. Do you think they
see him?
Oh yeah, but do you think they would learn that if it didn't happen to them? How could dogs? They would still think that was their master and their friend, right? They wouldn't have a thought like, you did this to my friend. No, I got to turn on you,
Garrett. No, you know what? You're right, because like even between humans, monkeys and stuff like that, when you see another one of your kind get killed, y'all are gonna freak out.
Okay,
I think
it would make them feel bad.
But maybe. if all these dogs are chained up to a sled, they're not necessarily going anywhere but straight, dude.
So what?
They're all tied up to
They were all on the sleds when it was happening?
I think, I don't know. I'm just saying, if they're not going anywhere, it's not like you can run away when
that
they're tied up.
That would be the saddest Santa and his reindeer recreation. Is just having a turn of a sled with fucking slaughtered and attack dogs.
And Rudolph's the last one, and it's...
the snot of the dog is all just, like, carved off. So it's just this bloody mess.
Santa just loses it one day.
Yeah.
The last elf ate my last cookie.
Yeah. Jeez. Okay. Well, I'll look that up. Thanks, man. What's your favorite song about heroin?
Heroin by Lou Reed.
I probably would have found that one anyway.
Yeah, it was pretty easy.
Yeah.
But if it was if you ever want to...
I like Perfect Day, the way it goes with that when they OD and...
Yeah, no, I like that a lot, too. Lou Reed's just awesome, which is funny because he never really did heroin.
Really?
No. He liked Valium a lot, though.
Everybody has their own drug. Everybody likes what they like.
Yep.
Yeah, ignoring the problem is not going to help it, though. Just saying, we made it illegal, it's gone now. That's so stupid. I'd like that they give you guys places to do it.
I resent the fact that you said you guys.
Canadians.
Yeah. You guys. Where are you from?
America.
Specifically, though.
Oh, I live in Los Angeles.
Los Angeles.
Did
you hear about that girl from Vancouver that got stuffed in the water?
Yeah, it was all over the news. Yeah, it was one of the few times I watched the news for a few days.
And then they wondered if foul play was involved.
Yeah, and then they forgot about it.
No one stuffs people in fucking water tanks.
Well, somebody,
they don't stuff themselves in water
tanks. My thought was that she lifted it up and like was like leaning and just fell. And then she could only like wade. So there was still room in between the top. And where she, but it was such a deep water tank that she had to wait.
Kind of coverage here. It was just like one Asian dead in America.
Oh, really?
No, yeah, pretty much. Like,
and people were like, "Oh, I drank this water."
People said that they were complaining about
this.
That?
Asian lady was like, she was American Asian. She was like, I drank it," and then it hit her. She's like, "I drank the water with the dead body in it."
I'm gonna sue this hotel now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Isn't it in, like, the ghetto, though?
It's not a good part of town.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
That must be. Like, why did I go one star on Yelp? I gotta stop doing this. I gotta go for two stars or higher.
It's like, what are you doing, little Asian Vancouverite? traveling to L.A., staying in the worst part of town, and wondering...
Yeah, what happened with that? How'd she get killed?
I don't see it as any...
Just dumped her in there.
Anything out of place there. It's just like, that's probably what's gonna happen.
I just can't imagine her, like, falling over and going, oh, fuck, and then, like rising back up because it's just water.
Yeah.
Getting to the top and be like, oh, I got to reach for the top here. But she couldn't reach for the top. Like, she was in water. She couldn't jump up high enough because there's a heavy cover on it because it closed on her. And then just like, oh, fuck. And she kept like, she's okay. She stayed afloat for like a couple hours.
She probably died of hypothermia.
Yeah, and then she got tired.
Yeah.
And just eventually like...
Hypothermia.
Yeah, maybe hypothermia. Yeah. That could be good. It'd be a good way to go.
It seems kind of far-fetched.
Yeah, it does. Somebody probably hit her and dumped her over there.
That seems like a pretty good place.
Or raped her and threw her in.
What was she doing at the water tank, and why was she going
in? I think it was just roof. She was going to smoke a cigarette. That's my thought. She's up there to smoke a cigarette.
Whatever. Woman is dead.
I wonder if the death count on cigarette smoking goes up with that. They have this chart in Santa Monica. When you leave Santa Monica, there's smoking deaths per year. And it's already up to like 65,000. Yeah, and I always wonder, like, you can see it move. You can see it, like, sometimes go when you're at a red light next to it. Go from, like, 65,472 to, like, it'll go to, like, 3. Sometimes you can get 2 numbers if it's a long light.
I wonder whose job that is, the person that has to click the death sign.
Again, yeah, keep trying to get over to the bathroom. And he's like, oh, all right, wait a minute.
This is a 24-hour day job.
Well, all right, man. Well, thanks. I'm glad you got your life back on track. That's pretty cool. Yeah. The tattoos before or after?
During. Before, after.
Yeah.
All of the above.
All right, well, what's your name again?
Jesse.
Jesse. Nice to meet you, Jesse.
For sure.
Thanks for sharing and stuff.
Thanks for having me.
All right. You got a Twitter address you want to say? Some people do that.
I don't do that.
You don't want to. Okay, very nice.
I got the Facebook, but I don't want anybody
bothering you about it. That's cool. All right. I just want to make sure. Thanks, Jesse.
Cheers, man.
It's my wife, and it's my life, because a maniac to my vein leads to a sinner in my head, and then I'm there.
Well, that's the episode, everybody. Thank you very much to Jesse, who came out and talked to me. Vancouver was a lot of fun. It really was. Let me see. I have some stuff to talk about. First of all, jury duty. I went back. Lame. Well, I mean, I guess it was okay, but I didn't have to go. I mean, I did it for a day. I sat there all day long, and then they just dismissed you. But they did have, they had one case that lasted 20 days, and it said it was going to start April 2nd and go through May 2nd. And you could just hear, and they said, like, look, we've looked through your folders. We looked through your files. Every one of you that says we look to see how many days off your job will give you, and I'm just letting you know that we expect this next trial to go for 20 days, 20 weekdays. And everyone's like, oh, no. And they called the names off one by one. And it was like watching Schindler's List. To an American who doesn't have, you know, have any adversity in his life, it really was like watching Schindler's List. Everyone's like, no. They would say, like, Margaret Smith. No one would say anything. Margaret Smith. And you'd hear, yes. Let's. I'm sorry, Margaret. I don't want to do this to you, but you have to come to the front. Tammy Tregarchinich. That's the extent of my name-making ability. Margaret Smith and Tammy, and then I stopped. That's it. Margaret and Smith, and then another first name, and then I couldn't think of her last name. Tregarchinich. And then she'd be like, yeah, okay. Oh, my heart just went out to those people. Anyway, but then they just dismissed us, and we got to go home. So thanks to this guy for talking to me. Now, like I said, this is a two-part. I interviewed a couple different sides of the heroin game. One guy that got out of it without much damage. And then the next podcast that I'll put on in about a month and a half, will be this other guy who did not get out of it so easily. He's out now, but he spent a good long portion of his life, most of his life, on heavy drugs. Heroin being his North Star of all drugs. And that was a lot darker and a lot nicer, too. Not nicer. Let's not compare them. Just, it was like kind of uplifting and dark at the same time. Man, heroin gets a grasp on people. So the way Jesse made it sound was just, it's just like heaven. You just take it and you're just like, see you later, problems. I'm going to feel good. It's like entering a dream, like a pleasant dream. That's what it sounds like. Man. Okay, so a few things also to talk about. So I'm not going to have an intro or an outro, probably not, on or just a very short one on next week's podcast. It's Holocaust Memorial Day, so I'm going to replay one of the podcasts that was still on my feed from Death Squad, when my show was on Death Squad. TV, and it's Holocaust Memorial Day, so I'm going to play the interview I did with my dad that a lot of people haven't heard. So I won't be able to tell you how the new comedians meeting went. So for anyone who doesn't know, I'm doing a little Q&A with the new comedians of Los Angeles. If you're a new comic, like I'm talking about anywhere from like 5 years in or down, or anyone who wants to, who doesn't quite understand what happens out here, I'm having a talk with all the newbies. We're talking about from like a day in until, you know, wherever you think you don't need the help. Some other people are coming down just to hang out, some comics. They might add something if they want to. If you're a comic that wants to, well, you know, I guess ask me if I know you. But yeah, I'll just talk to anyone and mention, say any questions. So come, anything you already know, new comics, that you don't understand about this business, about LA comedy, and about, I'm not going to be podcasting it. I'm not going to do that. It's just there. I'm just there to help you. I'm not there to make any, like I'm a fucking, like I know anything special. I'm not an authority on it. I've been around for almost 14 years. So I can help you through some of the stuff that they mislead you on. So any questions you have about Hollywood, having been here, or comedy especially, I know less about how to make it in Hollywood. Come with those. Like serious, honest questions. Not like I want to hear myself ask a question, but like stuff you actually don't understand. Come with those. I'll get to a bunch up front, and then we'll go through your questions one by one and have everyone share. Have everyone be able to benefit from all of us. We're all in this together. So if we can all get a little better and make this easier, then let's make it easier. So it's going to be at the Comedy Store at 3 p.m.-ish on April 7th. I'm doing that Kevin and Bean April Foolishness show the night before, so I might get drunk. So, yeah, but I should be up by 3. So 3-ish. We're going to try to do it in the main room. If they don't let us use the main room, we'll just do it out in the parking lot. Yeah, come. And invite your friends. If you're one of those new comics listening to this, get the word out to everybody, because it's not about anyone getting any of this information and nobody else. It's about everyone getting it. So just invite the whole scene out. No cover charge, no reservations, just be there. What else did I want to say? Yeah, I'm moving to New York soon, so I'm doing Tripoli's show on May 14th there, his naughty show. Wait, there was something I was going to tell you, not about anything. Well, in the meantime, let me just give it up for my new sponsor one more time, Squarespace.com. I know everybody has issues with procrastination, but it's time to start building your site. Squarespace is a great building tool that'll help you do it. It's either professional looking sites or personal sites. They have online stores. They have a bunch of designs you can use, so you can just drop and add your information to an already made design. And it comes with support and cloud hosting. If you sign up for a year, they even throw in a free domain name. So anyone creative, any bloggers, designers, or professionals, or anyone who wants to sell stuff online, go to squarespace.com/Ari and start a free trial. They don't even ask for a credit card, so just a free trial. And if you do decide to buy, click enter an offer code below the pricing at checkpoint and enter the offer code skeptic, and you'll get a 10% discount. So squarespace.com/Ari, offer code S-K-E-P-T-I-C. Oh, and they have a motto even. Isn't that nice? Isn't that nice? Squarespace, it's everything you need to create an exceptional website. Now back to the show. You know, now that I think about it, I don't think now back to the show is part of the... is part of the copy for... is part of their motto. Anyway, so... oh, here's what I wanted to say. I really want to try heroin. I mean, I really want to. I just wish it wasn't so fucking addictive. Diaz is right, by the way. I'll make my intro shorter. But man, I just really want to. It's got to be so good. I wish there was a way you could just do it 2 or 3 times. 3 times. Really 3 times. Really 3 times. That's the third time. He's right. That's when it gets you, the third time. Whew, man. I want to feel like that at least once, at least so I know how it feels. Some people are like, oh, I don't want to lose control. Yes, you do. You just want control back. As long as you can get control back, heroin would be great. Yeah, I can't try it. It's going to be too good. Anyway, you guys, don't forget to come to my show, my storyteller show, April 9th. We're doing, I don't know actually which one Diaz is going to be on. It's a 7:30 show and a 9:30 show. One of them is going to be called I Was So Messed Up. And it's just all about drugs and alcohol. And the other storyteller show will be One Crazy Night. And it's just going to be, all comics are just telling a story of just a fucking sick night. So like I said, so far we have TJ Miller, Sean Patton, Kyle Kinane, Bobby Lee, and the one and only Joey Diaz. I think the ticket's going to be free. I'll have a link for reservations hopefully today on Monday, as soon as Comedy Central makes one. But yeah, this is going to be filmed for Comedy Central Digital, so they'll all be individual stories online. We're going to put them out one after another. They told me and that they're not approving anybody's content. Everyone's just going to do their own stories. Nobody says a word to them about what the fuck they do. It's going to be as long or as short as they want. It's going to have whatever curse words or content they want to have. Comedy Central is just saying, okay, we're out. Just do your good show. So we're just putting on a cool show. So even if you don't get reservations, we'll find room for you. Just come down to Cheetah's. It's on the south. It's on Hollywood Boulevard on the south side, the southwest side of Hollywood and Vermont. So just come down there April 9th, 7:30. Be there early. Be there 7. And 9 and get tickets. All right, you guys. Thank you, Joey Diaz. Thank you, Jesse, for Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank, episode 109. Lady Heroin, and then whatever the rest he said. Is that it? I should have mentioned this before, but Punch Drunk, my sports podcast, has a new feed. We left Toad Hop, so we have a new... So you have to go... If you go to iTunes, you got to go to... Punch Drunk Sports. And it's the picture, the three-way picture of us, the drawing of us each punching each other with a big purple star in the middle with Tripoli on his cell phone. Yeah, so it's a new feed. So sign up on iTunes that way. And if you want, every Tuesday from 12 to 2, we do it live. You can call in or you can watch it. It's on thejointstudios.com every Tuesday from 12 to 2 Pacific time, 12 to 2 p.m. Okay, now I'm going to watch Game of Thrones. So that's it, right? So I got everything. This is my reward for doing this podcast episode. I get to do this and then watch season three, episode one of Game of Thrones. God, it's a good show. This is the first time I'm caught up to a sick show where I can watch it with everybody. I'm not waiting like I did on Lost, where I was 4 weeks behind. I want to talk to everybody about it. And go to my forum. Let's start. Hey, somebody in my forum started a Game of Thrones thread, and I'm going to go on there as soon as I watch this episode, so I'm all cut up, so I don't have to worry about spoilers. There's a forum on my website, arithegreat.com. Go to forum, and a bunch of people talking about a bunch of stuff. Podcast episodes, and then other general life things. All right, you guys. San Diego, this soon. I'll talk to you guys later. Episode 109, over and out. Don't forget to shop through Amazon.com. Oh, and somebody, okay. Oh, yeah, here's what I wanted to say. Okay, yeah, I'm going to get all this shit in now. If you've tuned out, sorry. Tell your friends to tune back in at the end. So I got a letter saying someone used my Amazon.com. If you don't know, if you go through my Amazon, if you go through my website and click on the Amazon link and then do your Amazon shopping that way, I get like a percentage of cash back of whatever your purchase is out of their end, not out of yours. You just shop as normal. You just go to Ari the Great and then hit the Amazon link on the right and then boom, you're into Amazon and do whatever you want. Then you can forget about it. But this guy bought a wedding ring, an engagement ring for his fiance through Amazon. So two things I didn't know. One, you can buy engagement rings on Amazon.com. I cannot imagine. I mean, I guess if I'm with a laid-back girl, I'm thinking of one girl in particular, and if I told her I got a wedding ring on Amazon, she would lose her mind with upset. But yeah, so anyway, if you get yours on Amazon, if you're going to enter into a antiquated, sort of outdated institutions such as marriage, if you're going to go all in with one person and never be able to find fresh things about new women of the opposite sex or new people of the opposite sex, absolutely go through my Amazon link to get it. But if I were you, I would use that money and get a fucking sweet rug or a goddamn car or something rad for $1,700. You're going to feel so shitty. You can't get that money back if the fucking wedding breaks up, but I'll still get my percentage, so whatever. And then someone else wrote this. If you write to contact@arithegreat.com or contact@arishapiro.com, they both work. I do read all the letters. So this one girl wrote me that she was listening to Tom Segura episode that we did together where we just did it all about masturbating, jerking off. She said she used to have discussions like that with her guy friends when she was like in high school and college, and some 35-year-old woman. She said she hadn't really thought about that sort of stuff and that kind of had heard that kind of talk. And since she was like, you know, 10, 15 years ago, and she was just really happy that it took her back to that kind of place. So that makes me feel really nice. Thank you, everybody. I really do appreciate it. And the people who have shopped on Amazon and who end up getting the Squarespace stuff or the Gamefly trial, or if they get their flowers from Pro Flowers, that all goes to me paying for former junkies like this one and the one you're going to hear in the next episode, the next heroin episode, like a month and a half from now. So thank you guys very much for tuning in. Please spread the word to all your friends. Shorter intros from now on. Well, maybe not shorter, but I'll just do me ranting and then like three dates and a quick sponsor or two, and then we're into it. Game of Thrones! Game of Thrones! All right, you guys. Thank you very much. 109 over and out.